What's poppin', people? It's the Wednesday edition of the Drew and Mike Show from the DealsandD.com studios. And today we have our special guest from Rochester, New York, Carl from Who Are These Podcasts. And we'll get to Carl in a minute. First of all, I wanted to mention I got a lot of direct messages and emails from people that apparently people feel that 10-year-olds and 7-year-olds and 3-year-olds should not be harshly criticized for their YouTube posts.
For the drummer?
Yeah, the cover drummers.
I told you she rules.
Yeah, Nandy's good.
If they're putting it out there, I mean, if everybody just says, oh, it's wonderful because it's a kid, then what's the point of putting it out there?
No, I understand. If you want to be on the wrong side of history.
I guess if these kids are peaking at the age of 7, then we might as well celebrate it. I just don't think cover drummers are that big a deal. I've never heard the term cover drummers before. I think I might have coined that. But they are cover drummers. They're just doing other people's songs.
I don't know why you hate kids so much.
I like them. I'm trying to help them.
Instead of kissing their ass, man. She picks good tunes, too.
I like the Rush guy the best, I got to tell you. Okay, so we were all ready to go, and I had to do just a couple things, and a couple things ended up taking longer than they should have because I was backing out of the driveway, and I was kind of floating backwards, and all of a sudden I hear this, boom, boom. I was like, wait, what? I couldn't have hit anything because the car goes, before you hit something.
Yeah. Curb?
No. I realized that while I was floating in reverse, I put the car in drive, and it didn't immediately catch.
Yeah.
And so I floated a little more.
Yeah.
And so I think because I was in drive, I didn't get the tit-tit-tit-tit-tit.
Yeah.
And I went, boom, boom, into this parked little white car.
Oh.
And
hold on to your dick!
It was almost a light enough bump that I thought, just put in drive, take off. Well, I was in drive. Just take off to 7-Eleven. But I thought, there could be something there. So I get out and look at it. There's some black marks.
You always freak out when you leave the scene of an accident, you know?
That would be very embarrassing, getting a leaving scene of an accident in front of my own house. There's enough activity there. There's a couple black spots from the rubber bumper.
Sure.
And then it looked like a couple scratches. I didn't see any indentations, but... See, if somebody came to my door, I go, whatever, just because I'm stupid. But so I figured I'd better knock on the door. So I knock on the door. It's people I have no idea. I've never seen these people in my life. I'm like, yeah, they're right there. And I just
what'd you do?
That white car. So I was like, and they get the female owner of the car. Mm-hmm. She comes out, adorable girl, beautiful young girl who just moved here.
Yeah.
And I'm like thinking, I got to hurry up. This is my brain's going. Okay, we know this happened. Let me get out of here. I got to do the show.
Sure.
She doesn't know that.
Yeah, life moves on.
Yeah, and so she
says... Stop crying about it.
She says, copy my insurance.
What?
Copy my insurance. I live right there.
Get it later.
And she says, I think for this thing. Like it was a really big accident or something. So I get my...
She must be really bored.
I think she just moved here, and I think it just, you know...
Did you reply with,
well, why don't you cry about it? Saddlebags?
I did not. It wouldn't have been appropriate anyway. So I gave her my insurance and my registration and my license, and she took pictures of all of them. And I assured her that I'm not going to run away. I live right here. And she wrote down my address, which is kind of weird.
She can't look out the window.
You know, I'm the asshole. I hit her. Why am I... I mean, I don't think it was that abnormal.
She's doing
reaction.
Everything that they tell you to
yes,
do, though.
Yes, you're right. And because I don't operate by the rules, I feel like other people don't need to operate by the rules either.
How old is this person, just out of curiosity?
She seemed very young to me, 30 maybe.
That's why.
Are millennials more inclined to need insurance information and registration and driver's license?
Well, I just mean maybe she's never been involved with something like this.
It's possible.
What to do?
No, I am 100% at fault, but it was still an interesting interaction. And I'm very curious what the outcome is going to be because I said, okay, in Michigan, I believe in Chicago plates. I said, I believe you report to your insurance company, and then they come to my insurance company, And I have a big deductible, so I'll probably have to write you a check anyway. If you want me to just get a an estimate, I'll write you a check. That's fine.
Can I back up a few?
Sure.
How extensive is the damage? I'm putting damage in air quotes.
Go look at it. It's
I kind of want to.
It's not all that much.
It'll buff out.
Maybe. I don't know. I figured my guys at B&B, the good guys in Royal Oak,
yeah,
they're really good. A couple hundred bucks at the most.
Well, then why are you going to involve insurance is kind of where I'm getting at.
Well, I offered whatever advice I could, but there are two older gentlemen that live there, so maybe they can.
Did you? Yeah, let the men take care of this, honey. Did you go, is your father home?
No, she didn't.
You need to talk to the owner of this car. Certainly a woman didn't buy it.
You're right.
She did. I'm a man. She don't know what I'm talking about.
She did everything you're supposed to do. I hit her.
I mean, yeah.
She, I'm the dick. You can't change
that. About it, in the real world, men take care of things. You should have said, just pull in my driveway, honey. I'll buff it right out.
I was just hoping one of those guys were kind of chilling and go, oh, yeah, you're not going anywhere. All right, Jack. Don't worry about it.
And then when she walks away, you just go, women.
Yeah, we kind of wink at each other.
Check your misogyny.
Okay. Well, downtown Royal Oak is hoping you will spend your Royal Oak dollars. Hopefully you went to visit RoyalOak.com, got hooked up for your $20 in Royal Oak bucks and spent them. So many people have spent like $150,000, $160,000. There's a lot more to spend, though. There's about a month to do it. And more information coming. And I should mention Lyft, too, for Thursday and Friday, 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. And then 10 a.m. to 2 a.m. Saturday, Sunday. Get $10 off Lyft if you go to downtown Royal Oak and give the GO2RO code to Lyft. Pretty good deal. And people are digging it. So keep it up. And I see all those retail, all the retail businesses, the coffee shops, the tea place, Goldfish Tea, I think it is. They're all, people just go everywhere when you give them money. And Facebook Live brought to you by Emergency Response Service Incorporated. Water's everywhere in your home. Leaky sink, washing machine, behind your fridge, under the dish, washer. Keep an eye out for water in your home, not just floods. Water's the enemy. And Emergency Response Services Incorporated will help you. Call 877-JOB-DONE or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com. Carl, since we have you here, what's up? You know, this police incident with this nude guy who died tragically happened in Rochester, and I saw that the first few nights it looked like the city was up for grabs. Now, you know, that's just a couple videos. It makes you feel that way, and maybe it really wasn't a big deal, but I honestly don't. I haven't talked to you since then, so I was just wondering how are things settling?
Oh, it's been a pretty big deal. Things aren't really settling all that well. We got some problems here. The RPD, the Rochester Police Department, had a lot of shakeups. Our lovely mayor, lovely Warren, is under a lot of scrutiny now for her mishandling of this whole thing.
Well,
she lied about seeing the video and when she saw the video, and yeah, there's a lot of chaos going on here in Rochester. Well,
that's interesting that, you know, it sounded like all those high-level people in the Rochester PD just fucking quit. Just said, I quit. They had they were not asked to quit. They didn't give her any notice. And so she's just like, oh, yeah, I'll quit. Yeah, nothing to see here.
Then the news today is that she fired our Singletary, the chief there, before his active duty was up at the end of the month. So it's like, you can't quit. You're fired.
Oh, really?
Okay. That's nice.
Oh, boy.
See ya.
But like you pointed out, most of it's over, like, how long it took to do anything about it, right? Because it happened back in March. I think people feel like it happened, you know, when we saw the video.
Right, right. Had they were sitting on the body cam footage, and it wasn't until the family of Daniel Prude insisted that they put it out that it was finally out there for everyone to see, and then all hell broke loose.
Can I ask you something? Had the family seen the video?
I believe so.
Because I kind of got that. I kind of got the same impression that the family had seen it, but it had not been released to the public.
They at least knew what was on it.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think they saw it. Yeah.
Okay, so now is the feeling is that the police killed this guy in Rochester?
It's tough because they definitely acted inappropriately. I think we can all agree on that. But
you mean afterwards or in the actual arrest itself?
Both, a little bit of both, afterwards for sure. But, you know, at the same time, this guy, and I think maybe it was your show that brought this up.
We did talk about it.
They tried to bring him to the hospital. They tried to control him in other ways. And eventually he was so out of control that even his brother called the cops and just said, I can't stop this guy. He's just running down the street, taking his clothes off and smashing up windows.
Well, you know, the reason I was really pissed about it was because, of course, in the end, it's the police's fault. Anything that happens after police interaction becomes their fault. And I don't think that's fair. And sometimes it is their fault. Sometimes it's not. And in this case, it was a tricky thing. However, the thing that really made me mad was that he was sent to the hospital before he went crazy and busted up some storefronts and was arrested by the police. And the hospital let him go hours later. They just said, ah, pff, yeah, not our problem. Well, yeah, it was your problem. That's what, you know, we keep getting this idea that, well, there's some people that should be dealing with this stuff and not the police. And, of course, they'll always make it happen right. And it's like, I don't know about that.
Dealing with people on PCP is not fun or easy in any single way.
I didn't know you had a lot of experience with that, Carl.
it's not something that you want to be able to deal with your life. And I can imagine that the hospital's like, yeah, I don't want to deal with this. We're good here.
It is
LSD, PCP, heroin, cocaine. What else you want to know?
It is a problem. So yeah, there's really no good. There's really nothing good that comes out of this. But I just won't say anything more. Anyway,
you and I were texting about this. The worst part about it is, who's going to want this job of being a roster police officer? I don't know how they're going to recruit anyone. I don't know how anyone's going to want to take up this duty anymore.
I don't know why anybody want to be a cop anywhere right now, honestly. And the whole thing just, I feel so rotten about it. Today there was a crazy story. I don't know, maybe you guys saw it, where I guess it's a sheriff's deputy in L.A. County asked LeBron James if he would double the reward money, which I think is $100,000, and goose eggs or crickets is what I heard. I don't think LeBron James said anything. So for some reason, Vanessa Bryant decided to come out and say, well, this guy asking for the money, he's a fucking asshole because he couldn't protect the pictures of my husband's chopper accident private. So it's
Why does
just
everything have to be connected to something else. Can we just talk to one issue at hand?
Well, I don't know why it's like, why do you want to trigger LeBron James? Because you know it's going to trigger him. Personally, I thought if LeBron James had said, yeah, I'll give you a fucking $100,000 because that guy's a fucking murderer and that's bullshit, that would have been incredibly cool. And I would have gone, man, right on, LeBron. But I don't blame him for not doing it. I don't like it when people say, hey, you ought to spend your money
Is LeBron going, why me? What about Goff? I mean, he's the quarterback of the Rams. Can he put the money forward? Or?
I think it was pretty obvious why he chose LeBron James. But and then Vanessa Bryant has to. But who can rag on Vanessa Bryant? So it just makes everyone feel bad in the end.
I know how you wanted that guy doxed. Did you see?
I didn't really want him doxed. Okay, why is a guy that's glad the cop died, who's a bystander, who's laughing about two police being shot in the face, why isn't he doxed? And why is, you know, the million other people doxed?
Did you see what happened, though? They doxed the wrong person?
Yeah, they did it again. The internet,
that's
the gun.
Different person. You mean the guy that they said murdered the two police?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that guy's getting death threats and all that.
Because, of course.
Well, the internet doesn't belong. I mean, this stuff should not happen, and people should be sued for this. And I don't know why it doesn't happen more often. I mean, isn't that kind of stunning that there are more legal cases involving bullshit on the internet?
Of course.
You publicly call someone a murderer in a case, and they suffer damages. This guy's got a small business, he said, is also getting threatened, etc. I don't know why that's not actionable. I really don't. Now, I realize that that these aren't publishers.
Free speech!
Twitter. Free speech? I know.
Laws are a little bit behind the technology by about 5 decades.
If John can sue SiriusXM, then I'm sure these guys have a case.
How is Stuttering John's suit coming along?
Oh, I don't think it's going anywhere, but we'll see.
Okay, Stuttering John is claiming that he contributed so much to the Howard Stern Show and all those historical bits that are, you know, from, I guess, 2017, 2018 backwards, that he's so valuable in all that material that he should be paid a stipend from Sirius, right?
Funnier than that. He's saying they're profiting off of his celebrity status. That Stuttering John is such a big celebrity and he's grown his own brand so much since being on the Howard Stern Show that's why SiriusXM is able to sell advertisers and they're able to get subscribers because Stuttering John is such a famous person.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That's quite extraordinary. I get so much joy listening to Who Are These Podcasts when you have segments on Stuttering John. I know you've done it show after show after show, and I should say, Carl, why don't you move on from Stuttering John? But it's always funny as hell.
It's getting better and better. Stuttering John is in a spiral right now, and I love it.
So
there's
kids
out there that love this stuff.
So we have a few new podcasts out this week. Megyn Kelly announced a podcast. I don't know how successful that'll be, honestly, although I thought she was much better than she got credit for. Her Sunday night show?
That Sunday night show was really good. That just was the poison of Alex Jones, because she had Alex Jones on the first one. And I
thought that was brilliant.
I thought it was fantastic. But then she did the daytime show, and the daytime show was dismal.
It was poorly done. The whole concept was bad.
She can interview people. If that's what it's going to be about, she can report.
She gets people, too.
Yeah.
I'm kind of intrigued to see how she does. Is there anything else new in podcasting as far as new shows?
Well, I have one. Alan Dershowitz.
Oh, God.
Is launching a podcast, to which I saw, I think it was Ken Tremendous on Twitter go, well, this is going to save a lot of money in depositions, because he's basically deposing himself, because he's just going to sit there and talk about Epstein and all the Virginia Jeffrey Roberts.
Is that the theme of this podcast?
Probably.
Defense of himself?
I got to tell you.
I think it's called I Kept My Underwear On, the I Kept My Underwear On podcast.
Well, that's a good title.
The symbols of dirty pair of tidy whities.
I honestly cannot understand why it is okay for Alan Dershowitz to continually trash this victim of Jeffrey Epstein. Now, I realize that she's named him as being involved, and he says that her attorney, who's a longtime opponent of Dershowitz, he talked her into doing that, but he doesn't know that.
No.
He doesn't know any of that. But nonetheless, great, it's just lawyer, to be trashing this girl who is clearly the victim. For some reason, this unequal justice. Some people are sacred cows, and some people get doxed.
Such an asshole.
You know, the guy in L.A. County who says, they cleaned them out, and he's having so much fun after these two cops are shot. Nobody doxes him. I don't know who he is anyway. I mean, what are we going to find out about him?
I like your pro-doxing platform.
I'm really not. I just wonder why some people get doxed and some people don't. But, Carl, take us. What do we got here? What do we got today? We got some cuts.
Well, you actually teased this on Sunday's show, talking about the juicy scoop with Heather McDonald.
Very good. And
the reason why you were excited about this is because she had Rachel Yucatel on. Mm. And Rachel is best known probably for being one of Tiger Woods' mistresses. But apparently, she's famous for a lot of reasons. And this was actually, a lot of this stuff was news to me when you were talking about it on Sunday.
Yeah, I was surprised that she somehow made 9/11 all about her. I mean, didn't it seem that she made it all about her?
Yeah, let's start off with, and I don't want to talk about Heather McDonald too much, but I do want to start off with her introducing her guest. And I call this clip, nice prep, Heather.
Was it your fiance or your husband who died in 9/11?
It was my fiance.
And there was just the very famous photo of you just in anguish after the horrible 9/11 on the cover of, I can't remember which magazine.
So the New York Post is readily available on the first page of Google when you Google her name. It's in the knowledge graph.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Bin Laden.
You can see that information. But what I thought was weird about that clip is that she's talking to her almost as if, remember how you got famous? It's almost like it was her first role in Hollywood or something. Don't we know you from the New York Post where you were crying about your fiance being killed? Yeah, that is how you know me.
One of the best days of my life.
That was pretty weird. She goes on to say that, yeah, I was on a picture in every cover of every newspaper in the world. I don't know if I agree with that.
So we talked about that on Sunday, and after the show I started reading as much as I could. It seems like it was just the cover of the New York Post or the back page, whatever that was.
I never saw it until Tiger Woods put his meat in her.
Exactly. No, his meat.
I know.
God, Tiger!
Can I explain why I said that?
Yes, please.
TMZ today was so ridiculous. TMZ was doing a story about Chris Evans' dick pic.
Yes.
And at the end, you know how they sometimes have someone comment?
Yeah.
The stranger. Mm-hmm. Darrell comments, and Darrell's like, yeah, Chris really got his meat all over the internet. And so I don't know why that stuck, but I mean, how stupid. And Darrell.
I feel like Darrell has better
command.
I think he has better command of the word in that situation than you did.
If we were to watch Darrell, I think you would agree with me that I'm not sure what he added to the story. But we'll look at that later because Carl is taking us through the juicy scoop.
Where's the meat?
Around here.
Sorry.
So you mentioned that she's working for Bloomberg News. She's down in Manhattan. Her fiance Andy is in one of the towers, the second tower to get hit. He's on the 104th floor. If you play my track five, she explains that even when the airplane hit the second tower, she still wasn't worried about it.
What?
When the second plane hit and hit his tower, I immediately knew that it was under him because I could tell by,
right, then,
you know, I was in the news business. You're smart. You get it. You know what's going on. And I could tell where everything was. And I thought he would go upstairs. Again, I really wasn't nervous.
What?
Who?
He wasn't nervous. Her fiance's in the building, just got hit by a plane. I'm in Rochester, New York. People were leaving the building that I was in. People were nervous everywhere. What is she talking about?
I take exception to the fact that she could tell what floor just by looking at the plane where it hit. Because didn't it hit on an angle and go through? Unless...
It was pretty bad. But 104, I would assume, is above it. But still, I wouldn't want to be above that. I'd be losing my mind. Had any woman attached to any man who was above that point would have been shitting bricks.
Yeah.
But she wasn't worried. So good for her.
So this is where she makes the story about her. If you play my track six, I think you were talking about this on Sunday, Drew.
Long story short is very soon after, within minutes, I watched his tower fall and everyone in the newsroom watched me watch Andy die.
So first off, I love that her watching her fiance die on 9/11 is a long story short. All right. So anyway, just to get to the point, can you imagine living on, that's how powerful banging Tiger Woods is. That story gets back burnered. Like, this isn't a big deal. We got better things to talk about. But yeah, my fiance was in one of the towers and I watched it happen in real time. Anyway,
apparently she also notices that everyone's watching her watch him die. So she's got amazing peripheral vision.
She's the star of her own story. Don't you think other people at Bloomberg would have friends and relatives in those towers also watching their friends perish?
That's what I was going to say. I wonder if they were watching her because maybe it was a little, I don't know, maybe she was a little,
maybe she looked really good that day. I know what you mean.
Or she was maybe, I don't know. Maybe
Carl, are you
affected than other people. I don't know.
Are you going to get to the kiss that she didn't give him when she left the house?
Oh, no. Because she had her lipstick on.
Yeah. Were you shocked that she even told that part? I think she thought she was a victim again, and she wasn't the victim. He was the victim because he said, hey, give me a kiss goodbye. This is the last time she ever saw him. She said, I got my lipstick on. And so she was the bitch who wouldn't kiss him because she had her lipstick on. And then she tells the story like, I mean, I don't know what, I don't know why she told that story. I wouldn't tell that story.
She did want to be the victim because she goes, and then the last thing I ever said to him was, don't kiss me, I'm wearing lipstick. And then I called him later that morning. And then we talked after the first plane hit. And then I was talking to him later. I'm like, okay, so that wasn't the last thing you ever said to this guy.
That's right.
I just wonder what his family, maybe his parents, if they listen to this.
They do because
maybe they're on wonderful terms.
Maybe you're going to get to that.
Oh, I am going to get to that. Okay. They are not on good terms. But let's talk first about the fact that thankfully, they were engaged when he died, track seven.
The fact that he proposed to me before he died is the one thing that gives me credibility in life. You know, like it makes me know that I'm lovable, that I deserve love because somebody like him chose me. And thank God that he proposed to me before he died instead of just that I was just his girlfriend. Do you know what I mean?
No.
No, that makes no sense.
I think she's married with kids now, right?
She's divorced a daughter.
Okay, she's divorced.
She's had a lot of relationships with a lot of people whose names you know.
See, Tiger Woods wasn't even that long ago. That was 11 years ago. Since Tiger Woods, she's married, has a kid, and is divorced.
And they nailed David Boring Anus in between, right? Wasn't that after Tiger? I think it was after Tiger.
Tiger was jealous of him, though.
The guy from Bone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wonder Tiger was jealous of Jeter, too, because Jeter was banging her when she met Tiger.
And Jeremy London.
That's right. That was that. Tiger Woods is very jealous of a lot of guys.
Yeah, he is.
And he had 15 whores.
I know. But he's a goofy looking. I mean, I can see why he'd be jealous of Jeter. Jeter's a mass. I mean, look at Mariah Carey writes two songs about Jeter, and all she did was have a fling with him.
Are you saying
Jeter's doing something right?
Sounds like you're into Derek Jeter more than Tiger Woods. Huh?
I just want to say,
well, we know Jeter shaves his pubes. We learned that like 5 years ago, right?
It's quite obvious to me that Derek Jeter is a fabulous lover.
Well, remember that romantic moment he had with Mariah Carey on top of the building?
Yeah, there's a song.
She escaped from Tommy Mottola.
Oh, God.
Sing Sing. Sorry, go ahead. Right. We digress.
Next.
That's fine. So Rachel was really glad that they were engaged because obviously she was part of the family, but apparently she wasn't. And if you play my track 9, you'll hear more about this.
Oh.
You know, I had to move out of my apartment that I had with him. His family wasn't very good to me at all. And I think they blamed me for being on the phone with him and keeping him in the building. And,
oh, my God.
That's so bad. So,
I want to point something out here. She said, I had to move out of the apartment. Now, they were in an apartment in Manhattan together, and obviously she couldn't afford it anymore. Immediately, she goes, the family wasn't good to me. Translation, I wanted them to pay for my apartment so I continued to live there, and they didn't want to pay for my apartment.
That's weird.
You know,
that's weird, right?
Isn't it amazing how much it becomes about money, too, as it moves along? Because it turns out that if you're engaged to someone, that the family can then choose to give you money. But apparently
they
chose.
But it comes out of their money.
What? No.
And she even says, she goes, they could have chosen to give me money because I was his fiance and they chose not to. I'm like, that's a good decision. I'd rather keep the money too.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Let me ask you guys this, because honestly, I feel like in that situation, and you know, it is tragic and I do feel terrible for her. And sure. I believe that she was upset. I do believe that. But would you expect to get money because your fiance died?
From the family?
No, from anyone. She meant that the family was getting it from the fund.
Oh, okay.
And they could have then given her some, but they didn't, because the money probably came 3 years later. And like, oh, fuck, Rachel, you could tell that Tiger Woods whore.
I would hope it would be like one of the last things I would think about.
I would never expect to get money because a family member died.
Yeah.
Can I ask, how long had they been together?
3 years, I think.
3 years.
Allegedly, according to her.
They got engaged in May, and of course that happened in September. So
it's such a weird story. And just the fact,
guys, I have some really good news for you though.
Because
she did get money from the Red Cross track time.
The Red Cross gave me, I'm gonna get the number wrong, but I wanna say about $50,000. I was able to find enough money to literally go buy an apartment on the Upper West Side and like find some stability in this and like be okay and learn how to be on my own.
Oh, phew. She was able to get a place on the Upper West Side. For a second there, I thought she got to move to the Village or maybe Astoria, Queens. Oh my God. Thank goodness.
Wait,
the Upper West Side?
For 50 grand? I got to question her.
Well, you know, by the way, she says, she says she thinks it was wrong. Now, you know how much the Red Cross gave you. It must have been more than that. If she says she doesn't remember, it's got to be more. It can't be less. You wouldn't exaggerate the amount.
No.
Oh, boy.
How unrelatable is that, though? Because she got a nice little place in the Upper West Side and 50 grand. And
the worst part of the story is for people.
Yeah.
The worst part of the story is for people who've donated to the Red Cross to think that their money's going to Rachel Yucatel so she can get a place on the West Side.
As I said the other day, if they only knew that money went to her and that place on the Upper West Side, I don't know if they'd be too happy.
Well, plus, she was working for Bloomberg at the time, and she's like, and they let me take a month off. So she got a month off paid. She went down to Brazil to figure out who she was and then came back and then worked for Bloomberg again. And then she got pulled out to Las Vegas to go run this club and be this VIP hostess. She lives a charmed life.
Yeah.
Yeah. She does not want for anything.
Pretty charmed.
Honestly,
privilege, no doubt about that.
She did lose a fiance and then
I agree. The media
coverage after Tiger. But once again, that's because of something she did.
I feel like, honestly, the media coverage after Tiger, wasn't that kind of good for her? I mean, it's Rachel. Everybody look at Rachel. And isn't that what she likes? I mean, she has an Instagram account. She posts really hot pictures on there.
Yeah.
If she really wanted to keep it public, I don't want people knowing stuff about me. Would she really be posting those pictures?
You're 100% correct. And the best evidence for that is, how often do we hear about that Perkins waitress that threw a tampon out the window? Nobody even knows who the fuck she is. She wasn't going out looking for attention.
She's not breaking her silence.
I'm not always on my period.
If you go through Tiger's Who's Dated Who, I'm telling you, you go, wait, what? This girl? I mean, look at just the thumbnails of the women. you know?
Oh, boy, that's some talent right there.
Oh, Lindsay Vonn.
Right. Lindsay Rachel Yucatel. Yeah. I don't know who that is. Kalika is that? Somebody. She's hot.
Jocelyn James.
Oh, Corey. Oh, man. I remember Corey wrist one off.
Remember yeah, that's her? Right, yes.
Mindy Lawton, that's the Perkins waitress.
Ooh, that's,
oh, gross.
She looks like a Perkins waitress.
Looks like she's on her period.
You know what?
I want to talk about how she met Tiger Woods, because I find this to be the most damning thing about Tiger. If you play track 13.
And so then where do you meet Tiger Woods?
Well, I first met Tiger Woods. I was dating Derek Jeter.
Oh.
And Tiger was sleeping over at Derek's house.
Okay.
And so he was
Ambien.
The guest over in the guest bedroom, and he was just a buddy. And I remember he was smoking. We were opening up Derek's window, and he was smoking a cigar out the window or something. And we just became
friendly.
Nice
guest.
So I fucked him.
Translation: Tiger was hitting on his buddy's girlfriend.
Yeah, in his buddy's house.
In his buddy's house, he's letting him stay over, and he's like, "Hey, this chick's hot. Why don't you go over and smoke a cigar with me?"
And if he's opening the window, obviously Derek Jeter doesn't want him smoking a cigar in his place.
No, but I don't feel too bad for Jeter, because he was probably banging three chicks downstairs who were hotter.
Yeah, true. Tiger did him a favor.
That's probably true. But still.
That could well be. Yeah, he got Jeter leftovers.
I got to point out, what's the name of this show again that she did? This Hollywood.
Oh, Juicy Scoop. The Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald.
I cannot tell the voices apart.
Yeah, I know.
That's tough. It's tough. I don't. I mean, if one wasn't asking questions, the other answering it.
They're from the same milieu, as you'd say.
Uh huh.
So, on my track 14, this is where we get started to get into poor Rachel.
Oh, great.
She is such the victim of this.
And there are people that go through scandals like that that are able to sort of slip out of it. And it's harder for a woman, I think. And, you know, I deserve my own stand up and cheer moment, you know, like Tiger gets to win awards and, you know, or win his different tournaments, and he gets to come out of things and have mishaps and get up again. And people want to cheer for him. But, you know, the women don't get that so much.
What? Does she not realize this was way worse for Tiger than it was for her? This was terrible for Tiger Woods. His career still hasn't recovered from this.
Well, her name has barely been mentioned in the last 10 years. And why is that? Well, isn't, I hate to put it this way, but isn't she really, wasn't she a receptacle for Tiger Woods?
Not only that.
Wasn't she just a receptacle to deposit semen?
Tiger was the one who was married. He was the one who was, you know, the adulterer in this.
No, yeah. Why doesn't she go enter a fucking golf tournament and win it then? If she
What does she need people cheering for her? Oh my God, your bottle service is incredible, Rachel!
Yes! They both say women always get the short end of the stick in these affairs because people are cheering for Tiger. Tiger's a professional athlete!
That's his job.
That's how you get people to cheer for you!
Yes.
I mean, she obviously gave him very good friction for his penis. I mean, that's something to be cheered.
What does she do now?
What happened?
Oh, thanks, Mama, there it is, Mama Woods. What does she do? What does Yucatel? I feel like you've mentioned it, but I just don't remember.
He opened up a retail store for children's clothing in the Upper West Side of Manhattan.
Oh, where her apartment is.
She loves
great.
Children.
Yeah.
She loves children. So I bet she says that.
In the Upper
she did
West.
That for a while, and then she stopped doing that. And right now, she's looking at maybe becoming a Real Housewife of New York.
Oh, great. Good. Give her an Emmy so she can have her award.
Oh, a Real Housewife of New York? Oh, yeah. God.
But she's not married.
Well, not I think they'll make an exception for her.
No, I'm a stickler for the facts of, of reality shows.
Amen.
No, she didn't really break down the affair with Tiger too much, because she has signed up to be on an HBO docuseries about Tiger Woods' affair. So I'm sure that's a pretty good paycheck coming her way as well.
Yeah. That's going to be a good docuseries.
I'll watch it.
I'm definitely intrigued.
It's going to be 70 hours long.
Right?
If you talk to every girl.
Oh,
so,
well.
Again.
The docuseries, it's on Tiger?
Yeah, right?
Okay.
Yeah, not her. Who cares about her?
Yeah.
Well, unless they
still watch it.
Unless they have the footage of when her fiancé died.
What the producers did is they went and they collected each time that you guys ran this at WRIF.
WRIF wishes Eldrick, Tiger Woods, and his lovely wife, Elin, the very best as they try to rekindle their love in private.
What happened?
In the meantime, let's hit the skank tote board. Tiger's alleged extramarital affair total is now... The most 30? Recent receptacle is...
Rachel, you could tell.
Barnes are living as a professional...
Whore.
Tiger's newest slut, on a scale of 1 to 10, rates a...
10.
Mother of God, check this hoe out. She's got the nicest...
body.
She fell hard for Tiger and finally remembers his...
Wiener.
And Tiger thought enough of her to let her help empty his bag for a total of... What a... Repeating, Tiger's alleged extramarital affair total is now... The newest 50. Dumpster is...
Rachel, you could tell.
And man, she's got a nice...
Ass.
This has been a Tiger Skank Tote Board Update.
Way to go, Tiger.
WRIF wishes Tiger and Elin the very best as they attempt to rekindle their love and future.
What happened?
You know, that was the gift that wouldn't stop giving. There was a new girl. Wasn't there like every 2 days there was a new girl?
Yeah, there's very few stories where there's something new every day. Tiger was one, and it was right after Thanksgiving, right? Didn't
yeah.
It break over Thanksgiving. And another one was when Charlie Sheen was going nuts every day.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
on Dan Patrick's show
was great.
Every day. I mean,
that
there was something
awesome.
New.
I think Tiger was more long-lasting, though, because Tiger, first of all, remember how angry he was at first? That, oh, yeah. The media's being so mean to Elin. And the fact was, he was letting Elin hang out there to dry. She couldn't do anything, and Tiger's just sitting in there doing nothing, going nowhere, so no one can bother Tiger.
I know, after she saved his life, too. By breaking that window and pulling him out from the car.
I just, that story was incredible. It had everything in it. And then when all the sluts were done, then it was like, I'm going to sexual rehab for sex addiction. And
the
then, of course,
was huge.
I'm sorry I let everybody down.
Remember, yeah, the apology yeah. at the end, which was carried on every... Carl, did you see the apology?
Of course, I love that.
Who didn't see it? We stayed on till 11:30 that day and played the whole thing straight
worth
through.
It.
And it was just... Who does that? It was, wasn't that just to keep
a
the
narcissist.
Sponsors?
Yeah, and it worked.
It did.
It worked.
But I just remember his best, he had like 10 friends who flew in from around the country to
high-five him.
To hear the apology in person.
High-five him and go, bro, man, why didn't you?
Do you remember that, Tiger?
Why didn't we do this when I was hanging out with you, man?
I can't imagine being flown into a friend's apology and being like, you know, Tiger, you really screwed up, man. I guess I'm going to forgive you, though.
No.
No, fuck no. You wouldn't do that. You go, hey, those nice, that's a hot bunch of chicks, man.
Yeah, let's go
pretty good.
Let's hit a round of golf.
Elin's a bitch anyway.
tell us all about it. Yeah.
Tiger's mother, Kaltita.
What?
All right.
Where are we at, Carl? Sorry.
Are we moving
back,
on to...
Get us back on track.
Yeah. Where are we?
Hold on. Speaking of the media... I love that Rachel's always the victim, and it's always just happening to her, everything. If you play my track 15, she talks about this.
I was branded, really, as the victim. And then 10 years later, I was branded the villain.
Huh?
It's not the media. You were the victim when your fiance died in 9/11.
Yeah.
And then you were the adulteress when Tiger was sleeping with you in 2009. It has nothing to do with the media portrayal of you. That's just who you were at the time.
Contextually, she's not talking about being a victim in the Tiger Woods thing, is she? At all?
She says villain.
No, I know, villain. But victim is applicable to 9/11,
yeah.
not when the Tiger Woods story broke,
no.
correct? Okay.
No, she means she's not talking about 2010 and 2020. She's talking about 2001 and 2010.
I got
and
you.
I think the media got it right.
Yeah, well.
Right. And so I have another example where she acts like everything happens to her. If you play my track 17...
And so I was at someone's wedding in Vegas, and they said, oh, you know, you're glowing or whatever. I said, I'm pregnant. And they said, why don't you guys get married? So me, always up for an adventure, said, great idea. So we went and got our marriage certificate.
What?
We went and got married at the Little White Chapel.
So She didn't have any control over this. She was in Vegas. And so I was like, you guys should get married. She's like, oh, okay. And then she was married for 4 months. It didn't work out.
Is that where she got the baby?
No, yes. she was already pregnant.
She's already pregnant.
Oh, I see. Okay, so she's knocked up.
That didn't work out well, did it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
I guess she was the victim of the pregnancy, too.
Right. Everything just happens to her. She has no control over any of this stuff happening.
It's almost like she didn't think of getting married to that guy either until someone suggested it.
Does she not have a piercing voice too?
Yeah.
Ooh.
So let's talk about Celebrity Rehab real quick.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Celebrity Rehab comes calling. And by the way, she did do Celebrity Rehab. She was on for 3 weeks, made $500,000.
What?
Pretty good.
Wow.
Pretty good.
What? For housing Tiger. So she got paid basically probably, you know, 100 grand every time she banged him.
So I thought this was really funny because they call her up and she says, I don't have any addictions. I don't know what you're talking about. How can I be on Celebrity Rehab? And they explain to her what her addiction is, track 16.
So they said, well, you're a love addict. And I said, love addict? That is so dumb. I don't even know what that means. So they were like, listen, will you just fly to LA and come talk to Dr. Drew? And I had seen Dr. Drew on TV, but and I thought he was just the cutest thing ever. And I was like, well,
did she nail him?
You know, maybe.
So she's not a love addict. She's a star fucker. Yeah. And she just proved it right there.
That's right.
She's like, oh, there's a celebrity who wants to talk to me? All right. I'll get an airplane. Let's do this.
Right. She's a star fucker.
So did she acknowledge that she made $500,000 for that?
She said it was like $400,000, but on Wikipedia it says $500,000.
Oh, well, she never knows how much money people are giving her, so it's really tough.
How embarrassing.
Just money coming to her just happens like everything else.
A very privileged life.
So not this bad. Is Starfucker confirmed, track 19. She has to do some more name dropping.
Also, you know, I don't know if you know this about me, I dated Brett Boone, who's like a major baseball player. His brother is now the manager of the Yankees.
Ooh.
Aaron Boone. Anyways, doesn't matter. But I met him on Facebook. He just ran up.
Bob Boone, too.
Matt Altman, who's on Millionaire Listing. His brother
of course.
Is Josh Altman.
Yes.
Met him on Facebook. He wrote me. We dated for a couple months.
What? Oh, my God. You know? Do you know how many people are going to flood her Facebook Messenger to try and nail her?
Was that just easy, guys. That just part of her resume that you couldn't stand not to be added to her visit there?
Brett Boone and the guy from some, I don't even know what the show was.
What was the show, Carl?
Some rehab celebrity, not rehab, but like house rehab thing. Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was some HGTV
met him on Facebook.
Show.
He just randomly wrote me. Matt Altman, who's on Millionaire Listings.
Oh, Matt Altman, Millionaire Listings.
Millionaire Listings, okay.
There's the guy from the show Bones that I think, I don't know if we were talking about.
That's Boreanaz, isn't it?
David Boring Anus, yeah. I think that's how it's pronounced. What is a boring anus anyway?
Well, she is incredible, man. God, a shrink would just have a ball with this piece, wouldn't they?
She was sleeping with him while his wife was pregnant. And the reason why they broke up is because she gave birth, and she was all upset that he was with his wife while she gave birth.
Are you kidding me?
Did she say that on Juicy Scoop? She did? Oh, my God.
Are you fucking kidding me?
What, Carl, is that a cut, or can you paraphrase what she said?
Yeah, so basically she goes, he kept telling me that they were not having, they're having marital problems, and they were going to break up, and then all of a sudden I see on TMZ that his wife gives birth, and there he is in the photo. And I was like, what's up with that?
Oh, my God. What's up with them? This is post Tiger and Elin, you would think maybe she would have developed some sympathy for a wife, much less a pregnant one.
Oh, my.
He's always the villain, though.
Oh, poor Rachel.
She portrays her as the villain, a poor girl.
All right. Well, you know what I got to do? Just a quick break, and then, Carl, can you give us about 3 minutes? Are we have Dr. You have some Dr. Phil cuts?
Sounds good.
Can you cut it down to about 3 minutes or 4 minutes?
Yeah, whatever. All right.
Our Zany friends at Zotford and Holly and DealsNindy.com are at it again. They've brought back everyone's favorite month of the year, and that's Truck Month, baby. That means right now is the best time to take advantage of this year's most incredible savings on all Ford trucks, includes the number one selling truck in America for 42 straight years, really? Mm-hmm. The F-150? 42 years? I didn't know that. And, of course, they can't ignore the all-new Ford Ranger, the most talked-about truck in Detroit. So get to Zotford and lease a new 2020 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4 as low as $166 a month. Or see the hottest sales staff in Oakland County about leasing a new 2020 Ford Ranger Crew Cab XLT 4x4 as low as $188 a month. Plus, Gavar and the gang at Zotford still have new Fusions, Mustangs, EcoSports, Escapes, Edges, and Explorers all under $200 a month. See all the details. Those numbers, those low prices just start attacking you. And, of course, the service, you know about the tsunami of service. Go to DealsNindy.com and check out our friends at Zot Ford and also all the other Zot locations. And then I got a great note from Maurice who said, Hey, gang. Hope you and your team are well today. I'm a longtime listener, 20 years plus of the show. I wanted to give a short testimonial for Hall Financial. First off, they told me I did not lower the average days to close like most of the Drew and Mike listeners. The average is 19 days. They took me from a 3.5% to a 2.99% and converted from an FHA to conventional. I am saving over $150 a month. The process is painless. It pays to listen to the reads and not fast forward. Well, thank you, Maurice. What,
people do that?
Apparently so. Like somebody right now is missing this important data. Call 248-308-5000 or go to davidhallmortgage.com/DrewandMike, NMLS number 1467435 for Hall Financial. And I was surprised to hear you mention the Dr. Phil podcast, just because we're so inundated with Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
But, you know, Dr. Phil, we always come back to Dr. Phil somehow. I mean, he had the whatchamacallit girl.
Yeah, Cash Me Outside.
Cash Me Outside girl. That was, I mean, I have to credit him for that. That was an incredible episode. It launched a giant career.
Yeah, but give her some credit.
I do.
She really, she really took advantage of the situation.
And didn't she
jealous of Dr. Phil?
I think she said, I made your show.
Yeah. Yeah, Oprah made you.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Okay, so Dr. Phil's doing true crime.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
True crime podcast called Mystery and Murder Analysis by Dr. Phil. And I have a theory on...
No one asked for this podcast, Dr. Phil.
That sounds too crazy. It sounds like a puzzle, like a where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
I have a theory on why he's doing this show. And I think it has to do with the only sponsor that he has on the show, Playwright Track 20.
Hey, you guys know my wife, Robin McGraw, has Robin McGraw Revelation, which is a great skincare product. And one of hers is called Let There Be Bright. This is a triple action brightening serum. It brightens the complexion and evens skin tone with this seriously fast-acting serum that combines Lumiskin, lactic acid, and vitamin C. It's RobinMcGrawRevelation.com. That's the only place you
can get
it.
He's got a cold for the read, by the way.
He
couldn't do a second take on that when he didn't have a cold.
It was supposed to be a 10-second read, too, and ended up being 28 because he talks so slow.
He missed an ingredient. There's also snake oil in that product. I like that this is for brighter skin. Who wants brighter skin? Is that a thing?
How about that?
I've never even heard of that.
Is he suggesting, could it be possible that this is for African-American women who want to lighten their skin? Is it Dr. Phil? I hope that's not what this is about.
I never thought about it was brighter skin.
No, that is really weird.
I thought, when you said there was a meaning behind it, I didn't know his wife sold snake oil. I assumed it was one of his kids was going to be producing it, like they produced the TV show and other things that he just lifts them along.
He does, yeah.
They do.
You know, I hate, it's one thing to have his wife in the show, and she'd always join him at the end, because it's about, the show's a lot about relationships, but when he started putting the kids in there, and that one kid dates Playboy model after Playboy model, and they did a show on, you know, what looking good or looking bad will do for you, and they decided to take someone really attractive and make them unattractive, and they used his son.
Oh,
and I'm like,
crazy.
He's not that hot! He is not that hot to be the sample of someone who is great looking and is going to look bad looking for a couple interactions.
Yeah, maybe they brightened his skin to make him look worse.
What's going on here?
I will say this, Carl, you don't know this, but Drew, I don't wonder if you remember this. It must have been right when he was getting really, really huge and we had the opportunity to interview him, but they said we had to interview his son.
Right.
And we're just like,
nah,
no thanks. No, thanks.
We don't want to talk to either one then.
I think we said, we'll talk to Dr. Phil.
Yeah,
it was very empowering. And they said, no, it's him and his son, or forget it. And we said, okay, forget it.
Not going to do that.
Yeah. Fine.
Suck it, Phil.
All right, so there's a few things that I wanted to analyze on this show, but since we're running short on time, I want to go through the true crime tropes that are going on in this podcast. I'm not a huge true crime fan, but I know it's a huge genre, and it has a huge audience. They're just consistent things that every single one of these shows do, and one of them is you have to tease all the craziness that's coming up in the story that you're about to hear about. Track 21.
I never could have guessed what would ultimately transpire. That I was about to become enmeshed in a case of outlandish lies, stealing, and ultimately a shocking polygraph test.
Like
a shocking polygraph test?
Like every.
Thank you, Drew. I'm glad you picked up on that. I actually listened to all four parts of this series to find out what the conclusion was. It drew me in a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Guess what the polygraph, the amazing results were? The guy was lying.
<That's not laughs> he was lying.
Shocking would be if he told the truth.
Right.
Of course.
It was just like he was being deceiving us a bit. Oh, okay. Great.
I want more Phil. Then, give me another one to play.
And then another trope is you have to let the audience know that this can happen to anyone. Track 22.
could have been you.
The repetitious nature of the fact that children in America can just simply go off the grid, can simply go missing, and no one notice is so very, very troubling.
Slow down, Phil.
Like that could have been me.
That's troubling.
I hate Wait, that.
How does no one notice when a kid goes missing? No one notices?
This does not happen.
That's what I was going to say. I hate it because people think that stuff happens all the time.
Yeah, like kids that's just true.
And it's way more safer today than it's ever been for kids.
Yeah, it is. And people won't let their kids ride the bike to a house three houses away.
No.
And
how about that?
Because you'll end up with that.
All right, two more cuts, Carl.
Two more cuts. Perfect. So track 31, you got to get the titillating, sensational story out there.
They found multiple fractures on her body, including her ribs, mandible, bilateral scapula, and four vertebrae. These, the fractures documented at autopsy, are consistent with multiple blunt force injuries over a prolonged period, wrote the medical examiner.
I'm talking, of course, about murder porn. Murder porn?
Carl, you said this was a multi-part...
It's four parts, isn't it?
Four episodes, yeah.
Could it... In all honesty, could it have been one part?
They draw it out so much. The other thing that I wanted to play for you guys, are running out of time, is Dr. Phil repeats himself so much, he thinks the audience is stupid. I think he might be right about that.
But Jamie,
the same thing over
the adopted
and over
brother,
again.
Like, claimed Erica had been missing not for 2 days, not for 3 days, but for 2 years. He told police she was missing because their adopted parents had killed her and buried her in their backyard. That's right. He tells police that his sister had been missing for 2 years and that her adopted parents had killed her and buried her in their backyard.
Yeah, backyard. Yeah, you just said that.
Oh, man.
How about that?
You know, I think it is a stretch because honestly, Carl, I was listening to it and he's reading.
Yeah.
It's a script. Somebody else is doing all the work. They just want Dr. He's basically a voice talent for the show.
And you're right, Mark. If he would talk like a normal person, he could cram. If you just put this thing on 1.5 times speed, he'll sound normal and you'll fly through it.
That's Amen. Actually how I listen to it, which is it's sounding weird to me now when you guys are playing it in real time. Last clip, guys. Just every murder porn needs a money shot. Track 32.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine an innocent little girl voluntarily taken in by a family.
Yeah.
Only to be beaten and abused so horrifically that they couldn't tell which of the injuries might have ended her life.
Ah, yes! Dropping loads in your mouth.
Oh, God. Ah.
That was rather dramatic.
Oh, Lord, Phil.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, great stuff, Carl. And who is on Who Are These Podcasts this weekend?
Thank you so much. So this weekend, we're reviewing a podcast called Life by Design. It stars Christy Love and her husband. Christy Love is a porn actress.
Yeah.
And this is a podcast under the business category.
Really?
Well,
sounds like a great one.
I'm excited about this.
Wow, we also have the great really Ryan compelling. Long. He's going to be the co-host this weekend. Ryan Long, very funny comedian. He's got some great YouTube videos. Puts one out every Monday.
Carl, you follow the comedy community a lot.
I do.
You just had a show about, is it Bert, Tim Dillon and?
Oh, Bert Kreischer and Tom Segura.
That's
Two
it.
Bears, One Cave.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I don't understand the appeal of Bert Kreischer. I just don't get it.
I know people that like him. I don't understand it. I don't know.
Do your Bert Kreischer episodes do well?
Yeah, we actually get more hate from people when we do Bert Kreischer episodes. We get so many people pounding on us after we do that.
Huh.
I think it's a great show to critique because he is big, and I feel like there's a major phoning in going on. Major. And, I don't know about the other guy. But anyway, okay, we'll look forward to who are these podcasts, a little porn-centric, porn-business-centric this week, and that'll be available on Sunday morning, correct?
That's right. WhoAreThese.com, or just look for us, Who Are These Podcasts, anywhere you get your podcasts. Thanks so much for having me again, guys.
Okay, Carl. We'll see you, man.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks, Carl.
Okie doke, our friends at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsNED.com are at it again. They've got 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4s as low as $180 a month. You've got the 2020 loaded Jeep Compass lease at just $155 a month. Or a 2020 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk 4-wheel drive as low as $249 a month. And, of course, the Jeep Wrangler. They have the largest Wrangler inventory in the state. Not very large at the moment, but the good news is there's no better time to get to Zot and order your badass Wrangler exactly the way you want it. See all that and more at DealsNED.com. And then, of course, our friends at Adam. If you're a man facing divorce or custody issues, call Adam. For nearly 30 years, Adam's been helping men just like you protect your rights, your property, and get the fair treatment in the court system you deserve. Don't take a chance with your future. Go with the best. Adam has the knowledgeable, aggressive, experienced attorneys you want. Call Adam at 248-356-2326. That's 248-356. Adam! And, boy, I tell you, there was a lot. It was weird. I was getting ready for the show, and of course, bumping into this car outside didn't help any. But I was finding that there was just a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff I wanted to get into. And I knew we had Carl, so I was kind of cramming away. I actually watched Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, man.
For the first time since I don't know when. And, that show is entertaining, I have to say.
Really?
It's not really my cup of tea, but.
My only problem with it is it just seemed to move. I must have no attention span.
It is a little slow.
It just moves slow.
Yeah, I can Dreamweaver as I'm watching it. But, I was fascinated because I knew Carol Baskin was going to be on from, show called?
Tiger King.
Yeah, from Tiger King. And this commercial runs about her husband who died, went missing, murdered, whatever, while he was with her under very strange circumstances, which they go through in Tiger King. Mm-hmm. And the family runs a commercial during Dancing with the Stars, which I thought, well, I guess that's kind of ballsy on ABC's part.
Can I ask you a question? Did you see it on the broadcast?
I did not.
So I wonder if it was nationally aired or if it was just
regional, maybe?
Yeah, maybe L.A.
I don't know. Maybe Tampa. I assumed it was regional just based on the quality of the commercial.
That's what I was going to get to.
It was not very well done. Can we play it?
We can play. Yeah, here you go.
Yeah, this is...
I'm Gail, one of Don Lewis's daughters. We are a real family, and to us, he was daddy.
I'm Linda, one of Don Lewis's daughters.
Can you pause it for a sec?
We miss our dad.
If you're just seeing this ad, you don't know any of the backstory. It's like, okay, who is Don Lewis?
That's really strange. But you know what? I think it's not a bad strategy because if you know the story, you know the story. If you don't, it's too hard to explain in a 30-second commercial, isn't it really?
I suppose, but I watched Tiger King. If you asked me what her ex-husband or dead husband's name is, I would not have said Don Lewis. Not that that matters.
You're absolutely right, except that the only reason I knew it was because there was so much publicity about the commercial, so it kind of worked in their favor. But yeah, it is a little weird.
I'd also like to point out when they get to Don Lewis's assistant, she might not be the assistant. She might be just the assistant.
Spelled assistant.
They misspelled the name. Yeah, and nobody is mic'd properly.
I know it's very low quality.
Should we call them and complain about the quality?
Yes, I think we should. Who can we call? Is there a number on here?
Yeah, there's a number on there.
Well, why don't we just call and tell them? I mean, just to save them embarrassment in the future that they misspelled assistant.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, can I start over here,
yes,
Mark?
Please.
Because I don't know how the audio was. I think it was turned all the way down, so it might crank on you. Just heads up. I have a serious issue. Shallow thought.
Yes.
The oldest daughter is the hottest daughter.
Gail, one of Don Lewis's daughters.
Sell yours.
We are a real family. And to us, he was daddy.
I'm Linda, one of Don Lewis's daughters, and we miss our dad.
I'm Donna. I'm Don Lewis's oldest daughter. We need to know what happened to our father.
You pause for a second.
I'm Ann.
Were they fighting over which daughter got to do the commercial, so they had to put all three in? Because it seems that each daughter doesn't add much new. It would have been faster if she'd said, I'm so-and-so, I'm one of Don Lewis's daughter, and...
Well, you forgot they cut out this daughter.
I wish I had a father.
I don't know why they cut her out. She's the most emotional.
And now who's Ann?
Ends the former
assistant.
Assistant.
Well, do we need Ann? I mean, we've met so many fucking people in this commercial.
What's amazing about it, though, is they had the apostrophe after Lewis in the right spot, so they thought about the possessive of Don Lewis's assistant, former assistant, but they didn't spell it right. But they had the punctuation correct.
You had to put Ann in, though, because she showed up in Tiger King.
Okay.
Oh, that's right.
I hate to be this way, but...
Hey.
Can't they just have one person do the commercial? If Ann's the one, okay, have Ann do the whole thing. Ann, you remember from Tiger King, you know, that guy that was killed, Carol Baskin's ex or her husband? Mm-hmm. Maybe you saw me talking about it. Here's the thing. We're still looking for the killer, and we think it might be Carol Baskin. They didn't mention Carol Baskin in the commercial.
No, couldn't they have found some footage of her when she was with Don and, like, make it negative, you know, like turn it negative, black and white negative. So
like a political ad. Yeah, sure. Exactly. Because they introduce us to three sisters. It's like, oh, wait, what the fuck is the first sister's name? And then all of a sudden, bang, here's Anne, who's going to tell us the key part of the story. And Anne, again, I hate being this way, but I'll be this way. Anne is the least attractive person in the commercial.
Sure. lawyer's more attractive, and he's a guy.
I don't think I'd do a lot of commercials with Anne. I mean, just saying.
Plus, once again, they left that one daughter out.
I'm walking on sunshine.
That's because her face is gray from paint, from huffing paint.
Sorry. Okay, play the rest.
Let's hear the acetate.
Maybe we'll get through it eventually.
All right, we're getting to the second half of the commercial, and this is where they do the out shot, where you get a lot of people in one room, and they just totally forgot to get a mic.
Don's former assistant. All we're asking is justice for Don.
Does Anne have teeth?
Don Lewis mysteriously disappeared in 1997.
What?
His family deserves answers. They deserve justice.
You deserve a microphone.
Or if Carol Baskin was involved?
A $100,000 reward has been funded. You can call the tip line at 646-450-6530.
Or call our office at 800-LITIGATE. Thank you.
Yeah, it's very poorly, Mike. Can we call? Did you write down the number?
Yeah.
Let's call up there.
I wonder how many bullshit calls are getting.
But I think our call is instructive. I mean, it is embarrassing to misspell something in a commercial. Nobody proofread this.
Just gave him a free spin.
And it's mic'd poorly also.
It's mic'd. It was so poorly.
It really is.
Pick up the phone. Come on.
Now, would that be a disaster if nobody's answering the phone?
Is that Joe Exotic? That's Joe Exotic.
How many Trump drops do we have?
Too many.
Oh, come on. Don't be this half-ass. I'm rooting for these people.
Hello. You've reached the number for the Jack Donald Lewis tip line. Don Lewis went missing in August of 1997.
He has the same outgoing message as I do.
Circumstances. There is a reward of $100,000 for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person or persons responsible for the disappearance.
What, they have to be convicted? What if it's the person responsible but don't get convicted?
Typical lawyer.
If you have information, please leave your name and number. You can remain anonymous and still collect the reward. If multiple people call in with information that leads to the arrest and conviction.
Oh, too many loopholes.
You know, you're really losing me.
I'm keeping my information to myself.
The reward will be divided up based on the importance of information that was given. Please leave a name and number.
To sign an undisclosure agreement, too.
And speak clearly so that we can call you back. Thank you for calling in, and please help us solve this case.
First of all, I just want to say that I really do hope you guys solve this case. And I think that Carol Baskin chick, I really do think she's involved. And that's really my only editorial comment about it. I did want to mention, though, that the commercial... misspelled the word assistant, and I just thought that was something that maybe a proofreader could have caught. It would be, you know, appropriate to have all the words spelled right. And also the last portion I thought was mic'd poorly. I'm not really that fanatical about, I mean, I'm not totally anal, but I just thought it was mic'd badly. It was hard to understand the lawyer. Thank you. I'll remain anonymous.
I have actual audio here, guys. This is actual audio of the producer who created that commercial after he realized he spelt assistant wrong.
What? Well, I know it. I know it. I totally know it.
Remember when the spelling bee was actually good?
Jacob Williamson. Remember that kid? He was all the rage on SportsCenter for about a minute.
Yeah, Yeah, but then they decided to give it to, you know, let him, like, kind of like the reward for finding the killer of Don Lewis, which we know it's Carol Basker, finding him. They all split the prize now. There's no winner of the spelling bee anymore.
There isn't?
No, they all share. There's like, they all had a big tie the last couple of years. It's horse shit. It's not nearly as fun as it used to be.
That doesn't make sense.
Did you watch Dancing with the Stars or no?
You know, I did not. I was actually eager to listen to the results of the first night. I didn't know if Carol Baskin was going to get blown out. She's actually kind of the biggest star of all these stars because she's the one that's surrounded by the most intrigue in a sense. And a lot of people are just wondering what the hell she's doing on there in the first place. But well, I don't get into the dancing shows. I just wonder
because, you know, Kristen, she was a dancer and stuff. If she was into it. But
she watches. She's more like she enjoys like watching the choreographed like group dances when there's a whole bunch of people doing shit. That's what she likes because that's what she did.
That's really funny because when I used to watch the show, I would speed through the dancing and just watch, you know, the post dance breakdown and all the tape.
That crazy dancing making my penis soft.
And then when Julie watches it, she just speeds up to the dancing and just watches the dancing and then
get this dance.
So I guess the whole show gets... So I just wondered how she did or if...
I did look up those results. Apparently, she scored the worst. She was the worst one. But I don't know. I didn't watch it. So I don't know if they kicked her out or if they do that on another episode. But it doesn't sound like she's going to last long on there.
Well, she's just there for a payday.
Do you think the Lewis family will continue to run these commercials if she's voted off on the first week?
It's a good question. Probably not. But if she's on there, why not keep running them?
Well, I'm pretty sure that it's going to be an expensive buy to get Dancing with the Stars in primetime on network television. But that's why I think that it was regional.
I bet you just ran in Florida because I didn't see it on ours locally. It's the only thing I watched for was only the commercials to see if I could find it.
Right, and the rumor was it was going to be like the very first commercial or something like that.
I guess they had really good ratings last night. Probably. Simply because the Tiger King lady was on there. Because
well,
Carol
you Beck. Also have a new host. Tom Bergeron's gone. Aaron Andrews is gone.
That's
you
right.
have Tyra Banks, who's hosting it now. But I don't know. Ask Drew. He's the one who watches
Drew's
it.
Drew's back
now.
So she was pretty terrible dancing, right?
Oh, terrible.
Yeah.
She got 3 from Bruno.
Was anybody worth a shit or no?
Well,
it entertaining? You said it was entertaining. I just wondered what was...
Yeah, it was amusing. You know, Tyra Banks has taken over, and she seemed fine. I'm really surprised that Tom Bergeron got blown out. I mean, he was really good. He was perfect for that show, I thought. But it seems to me they're obviously trying to get younger because, Len, the middle guy, the older guy.
Yeah, he's like 300 years old.
Yeah, he supposedly can't fly over from London. I don't know if I believe that. So Derek Huff was the middle judge.
Oh, he's moving to
Derek
that position.
First Huff.
Thank you. And Carrie Ann Arbor is still there. I call her Carrie Ann Arbor because I never know what her last name is. And let's see. AJ was good. They had AJ McClain
from Backstreet.
Okay, yeah.
They had the real estate babe from that Netflix show who said, I believe she said, I have no experience dancing. She had she used a quail term. Chriselle, she's really cute. And
what about Nev? How did Nev do? And Johnny
Nev,
Weir.
Nev was pretty good. I just want to say first, though, about Chriselle that Chriselle. I think she's the real estate babe from the Netflix show. I think she's going to be closing in on her partner's penis.
Oh, really?
Eventually. That dong is going to have great curb appeal to her.
Why, the bushes are trimmed around it?
That dong
it's
may
almost
be,
demo day.
It's very welcoming.
That dong may be among her real estate holdings eventually. Then there was Anne Heche. And I know, it's so weird to see Anne Heche. I mean, that's really just, I can't get over the fact that she was Ellen's, like, crazy PDA girlfriend.
Yeah.
It was so weird.
And Steve Martin's.
Yes. And she made a big deal about what a dream it was to be in Dancing with the Stars. And all I could think of was, well, I guess that's good then that your career tanked so much that they invited you. Because they really do go for the fallen stars, don't they?
Yeah.
For the most part. Not always, but... I mean, she's like... Anne Heche seems like a Where Are They Now person to me.
Very much so, yeah.
They had... Jeannie Mai, who hosts The Real and Holy Moly.
Oh, yeah, she's cute. I
know she is beautiful. Yeah. Wow, is she cute. Very gymnastic, too. She had a leg around the guy's neck.
Ooh, yeah.
And then, you know what they ran in the middle? They ran this commercial for Coogan's. Have you guys seen this?
No.
It's like a neighborhood bar in New York. It was actually.
Oh, it's a Facebook ad.
Oh, it was an ad for Facebook because it was about supporting small business.
Yeah, I want to say it's a Facebook ad, but there's other small bars and restaurants.
Okay.
In that ad. I've seen that.
Yeah, it was a good ad, though. Jesse Metcalf was on from Desperate Housewives, which ended in 2012, and he's had 6 phone calls total since 2012. I mean, that guy, remember how big a deal he was, and he's off the map, isn't he?
Oh, man. He was Jonathan Tucker from Jonathan Tucker Must Die.
It just seems like, I don't know, have you seen him in anything? I don't know.
No.
They had
a child star named Sky Jackson, who looked like she's 13, but she's 18, and she's cute. And Caitlin Bristow from The Bachelor, I don't remember her. She was The Bachelorette in 2015. Hmm. Beautiful long hair, beautiful long curly hair. She got some of the best scores of the night. Hoo-ah, she was hot. Then Nev was... Funny, when I see Nev, he looks like Matt Riley, doesn't he? Is there a resemblance? They're both Jewish, and...
I guess a little bit.
I think there's a resemblance. I don't know, he reminds me of Matt, although Matt would kill him in a dance-off. Matt is the only friend I would ever say in the same sentence with dance-off.
I still think Riley looks a little more like that soccer player, Di Maria.
Matt looks like a lot of people.
He really does.
Johnny Weir, who I'm rooting for, and Mike Clark is rooting so hard for Johnny Weir. Yes, Mike loved Johnny Weir. And he had this world map outfit on that was hilarious. It was like this top. I mean, it was a top. It was not a shirt. It was a top. And then pants. And it was a world map. It was just bizarre.
Critics can eat it.
And then for his dance, he had see-through pant legs with fishnet stockings underneath. Yes.
I gotta see this.
And a see-through, I think the top was see-through with the lights, but he had giant bouffant. His hair was so tall. And he did 6s. He did pretty good. Justina Mostato from 6 Feet Under? She was Vanessa Diaz.
Federico, yeah, the wife.
And you know what? I honest to God, when I watched that, I was like, wait, 6 Feet Under? Who is she in 6 Feet Under? And I realized, God, I want to watch that over again. That show was so good. God, I love that show.
It's weird watching it back now, though, because I don't think the first couple episodes are in that letterbox format.
Oh, is that right?
Anna like me, you're going to be like, hey, why doesn't this fit on the screen?
Anyway, she was spunky, and you know she got 7s, I think. Charles Oakley was on there. Really? He danced Into Club.
Cut it out.
Doesn't Into Club seem so old now? I mean, it's not that old, it seems old.
Go, Charlotte. It's your birthday. We're going to party like it's your birthday. We're going to sip Bacardi like it's your birthday.
Oh, embarrassing.
And you know we don't give a fudge that it's your birthday.
Murderer.
I don't know, 50 Cent just seems like a joke to me. I don't know, I thought he was like the real thing. He was shot all these times. And
9 times.
And now he's an internet troll, isn't he, really?
Yeah, and he's really good at it.
He is good.
He's really funny.
Monica LaDagna from Cheer.
Did they ask her about her former...
No, they did not get into that. And she had beautiful long hair, too. And she's pretty. On that show, she looks so harsh because she's always yelling at the cheerleaders.
Yeah.
But she's very pretty, and she was good. She did a 6-7-6, which was good. Nelly did a flip.
Really?
Actually did a flip, just standing in place, did a flip. And Nelly was... he didn't get that good a score. He was dancing to his own music, too, which is kind of weird. And then, of course, the murderer went last. Carol Baskin. Murderer always goes last.
When are they going to get OJ on this show?
The murderer.
You know, they should get OJ on there. Why not?
He would do it if the money wouldn't be redirected to the Goldman.
Yeah, they have to pay him cash after every episode.
I'm taking no money for this. And then you see Len paying him with an envelope afterwards. He can't move, though, OJ. You do that weird limp across.
I think that's fake, though. That's like, remember when he picked up the kids in the trial and they're showing, oh my God, look at him picking up himself. He can barely pick him up.
True. That was, I don't want to be in the position of defending OJ, but that was 25 years ago.
I know, but that was fake. He wasn't having any trouble picking the kid up.
I got bad knees.
they
Should we call Jeffrey
like,
Felix to see how fake his limp is?
Yes. Okay.
It's so ridiculous.
Why have we not talked to Jeffrey Felix?
He hasn't returned our last four calls.
If there's anything I'm angry about, it's the falling out we've had with Jeffrey Felix for no reason. Our Nevada correspondent, I mean, we could be talking to him about the wildfires.
Brandon.
Why? Is the Sierra Nevada in trouble, possibly?
In the same time zone.
Well, the Sierra Nevada is at risk, always, isn't it? Kind of, sort of.
Why hasn't he picked up our
I don't
calls
know. I thought he liked being on the show. We always overplug his book. I think that's the goal, is to overplug his book.
I bet you he's sold more in this area than anywhere else.
I think the goal is trying to say guarding the juice
as many times as possible. Yeah, it's sometimes it's hard to work in because you've said it so many times. But
I wonder if it was hard to guard the juice when his knees were good. Because isn't that really we want to find out how well he moves around?
Well, I think it's it's an interesting question. I mean, he's the head of the recreation department.
Please leave your message for 777.
That means he's on the phone right now.
Oh, really? Well, then he'll listen, I bet.
3.
Hello? Beep?
Jeffrey?
Maybe I missed the beep.
What?
I didn't hear anything resembling a beep. I kept it down because I didn't want his number to get out.
Okay. Jeffrey, this is the Drew and Mike show in Detroit. I don't know why you're ghosting us. I don't know what's going on. We're aware, of course, of your great book, Guarding the Juice, and we always like to talk about it. And we had some important OJ-related questions regarding possible appearance on Dancing with the Stars, his knees, how unhealthy he is or is not. And I don't know what else we called him about. Can we even remember what we needed an update on?
I don't remember, but maybe now the wildfires, because he's close to California.
Yeah, Sierra Nevada. And Jeffrey, you agreed to be our Nevada correspondent, and then you just, poof, you're gone.
It was a verbal agreement.
Juice has been out hitting the clubs, too, so.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about, Jeffrey. I don't know why you won't help us out. It seemed like we were friends. We sold a lot of books. We sold at least one cruise worth of books.
Yeah, of Guarding the Juice.
Yes. Thanks, Jeffrey. Call us back, please.
You better call us
back. That's how he measures being paid, isn't it? By how many cruises? What he said?
I forgot about that.
Paid enough for two cruises.
I forgot about that. I can't believe we're this far in. We haven't even mentioned the big news of the day, and it's that Cardi B's getting a divorce.
Oh, yeah. That is big news, actually.
Is, yeah.
I thought that was one of those weird relationships that we'd never quite understand, but would always somehow, although he was trying to get in a three-way right before they got, or was that after
he cheated on her numerous times. Remember that time he brought like the, his name's Offset, which cool name, but he went on stage to like bring her flowers.
Oh yeah.
None of it.
That was so stupid.
I kind of like her, man. I think she's...
No, I like her. Okay. I thought she should have gotten rid of him a long time ago. Yeah. It seems to me, what does he bring to her?
Great question. Well, a child now. I mean, I think that was why they stuck together.
I understand that.
Kid together. But yeah, now, you know, she filed in Georgia. And
how big is his career on the rise like hers?
Oh, it's nowhere near what hers is. But I mean,
I think they were both on the same level for a while when they got together. Yep. And then since, she's skyrocketed and he really hasn't taken that next jump. And, you know, after all the, you know, allegations of adultery and, you know, she's saying, screw this guy, I don't need him anyway. And then she gives us great content like this.
Yeah, I hear that. Wait, hold on. There we go.
Yeah, she seems way too independent to put up with a bunch of shit from a guy like that.
Who's going to get custody of culture? I just wanted to say.
Funny question.
Culture.
I know. I love it. Did anybody see highlights of Kid Rock performing at... whatever that place was, Bumpers, something, with Donald Trump Jr.
No.
And Kim Guilfoyle.
No. Mm-mm.
I just saw the story last night on Channel 4, and they said that, well, they showed his Instagram post, which was how he wouldn't miss his event for the world. He's got serious medical issues. He had to get shots, and he said he got steroid shots in his neck and his back or something every day. But he wouldn't miss this for the world. And then he went on to explain why he feels Donald Trump is so important and that he realizes he has all these haters and he doesn't think one second about it. And I have to agree that he probably doesn't.
Oh, I don't think he would either.
Because if you did, you know, when I think of all the people who honestly are like that, I'm really surprised. Like Jimmy Kimmel does not seem like the kind of person who would want people hating on him all the time.
Yeah, but he doesn't care.
I guess not. I would just hate it. I would hate to be in one camp and constantly be doing things that you know, I just want out of the fray. It's funny. I never knew quite how to express it because I don't mind talking about politics, you know, within reason.
Sure.
But David Spade was talking to Howard, and he said that I just want to be above the fray. I don't want to be mixed up in that. And I totally got what he was saying, that he likes being a comedian. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got the NFL now, which wants to, you know, foist into social justice. And then you have people like Spade who are saying, you know what, I'm better off out of that world. And I agree. I wouldn't like David Spade in that world.
I mean,
because I like him the way he is.
It's tough if you want to use the Kimmel example. I wonder if how much he really wanted to do it, or if he got pulled in. Because remember, his kid was sick.
Yeah, no, I understand that, and I thought there was nothing wrong with that. Really, nothing in the world wrong with that. And speaking out for other people who have bigger concerns than he did
about health care and stuff.
Sure.
And then that's what I mean about him getting pulled in, because he got so attacked that he was like, "Fuck you," and now he's really
on that side. I thought he went over the top, though. You know, like the thing with when he played basketball with Ted Cruz, I thought he was a real asshole to Ted Cruz.
He was not very nice to Ted Cruz, no.
And I, it's not that I'm even a Ted Cruz fan or anything. Did Jimmy lose or Ted Cruz?
I don't remember.
They're both
I'm
terrible.
Pretty sure Ted Cruz won that matchup.
But I thought Jimmy was obnoxiously an asshole, and I'm not used to him
too.
being like that.
I don't like Ted Cruz at all, and I thought he was kind of a jerk to him.
And then
you have somebody like Jimmy Fallon, who gets shit because he doesn't wade into that because of the nature of the beast of doing a nighttime talk show, and he's terrible at it. He's awful.
I don't really know what Jimmy Fallon does, to be honest.
It's bad. It is not funny. It's just bad.
Yeah, I think you could, you know, Johnny Carson somehow maintained some sort of middle position.
Johnny Carson had no competition.
No, he didn't. But I think Johnny Carson could do okay today. I'm not saying that he, you know, obviously he's from another era.
I really feel like the game changed.
Well, with
Jon Stewart in The Daily Show, who was hyper political and very, very funny with it. He's even funnier now when you look at how bad Trevor Noah is and just not, I don't think I've ever laughed at anything Trevor Noah has said.
I've never laughed at anything. I'm so disappointed that Minka Kelly is dating Trevor Noah. I can't tell you how much that bothers me. I don't know why. I feel like she's in another league. Get away from that guy. You've been nailed by Derek Jeter. How does Trevor Noah even have the audacity to be the penis, a penis, after Derek Jeter's penis? I think it shows incredible narcissistic tendencies on Trevor Noah's part.
But look at what Jon Stewart carved out. You know, being that political guy and being really, really good at it and taking Jim Cramer or, you know.
I don't like partisan shows, but I could laugh really hard good. At Jon Stewart.
Did you see him today?
I never felt he took it that seriously. Usually, most of the time, I felt like he, there's just sort of an eye roll with him, a sort of a constant eye roll wink
I
sensed.
I think Jon Stewart hated pretty much all sides.
Probably did.
He hated cable news. He hated politics. And it really, did you see him today, by the way, Jon Stewart?
I didn't.
He gave an incredible speech about there's a bill for sick veterans and taking care of veterans. And he is just really, I'm trying to find it real
quick. Well, he got into the whole 9/11, you know, victims of 9/11. And that's cool. I mean, I have nothing against Jon Stewart. In fact, I like him a lot.
But I mean, I just wish people would listen to what he says here. I'm trying to find it. God dang it.
I think you're right, though. Our audience is really going to find.
Oh, yeah. Well, believe me, if you can't find what Jon Stewart said today inspiring or, you know, get behind it, I don't know what's wrong with people. Here it is. Found it.
The A-10 already takes care of everything they could possibly take care of. The F-35 is going to be useless. They're going to make 2,400 of them for $1.4 trillion. Just make 2,000 of them. And we have the money. This is, it's bullshit. The money is already in the system. We're just not allocating it to the right people. How is it that we have, the Pentagon wouldn't even do an audit? 1990, they made it illegal to not audit every department. The Pentagon never complied until a couple of years ago. They failed their audit. And the penalty for failure was an enormous increase in their budget. Meanwhile, each soldier that comes home is put on trial for their health care. Because if the VA and the Pentagon can make it so that their health condition is not a part of their service, they don't have to pay any money.
You know,
that's what this is about.
Unfortunately, I feel like he's just wasting his breath because I don't know why.
But he's so passionate about it. It's just,
well, that's fine.
Fall on deaf ears.
But I think it does. I mean, I think it falls on deaf ears within the people who could do something. Why are veterans treated poorly? Who knows? There's no reason, no excuse in the world, but it happens and it goes on and on and on and on. And everybody says, oh, we're going to make changes. It's not going to happen anymore. And then it keeps going. I don't understand it. But anyway, as far as late night and being in the being mixed up in this fray, I do understand it. But Okay, everyone is on the left making fun of Trump, and I don't understand why. Well, I do understand, but I think if there was a show that was either in the middle or to the right, it would do very well. And I'll tell you why I think that. One, because there are a lot of people who are on the right or in the middle who probably get tired of that. And secondly, the reason it would be a problem, I guess, is because it'd be hard to get guests. I mean, a lot of those people would not go on a show if it was from the right. But look at Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson has the biggest audience. I don't know if it's every night or most nights, but I mean, he's being the NBA. He has the biggest cable audience of any CNN, MSNBC, or Fox News show. So obviously there's interest in the right. I mean, it's not just half the votes. Those are actual people that watch shows. So, but, you know, like I said, if you were even considered to be from the right, and if you're in the middle, people would probably consider you on the right. Maybe you wouldn't get guests.
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
I just received a phone call, and it turns out that Jeffrey Felix has changed his phone number and someone else has it now.
What?
He's like, yeah, if you know anybody else
that... How can he...
If you know anybody else that has this number, please, please tell them, we get calls...
Oh, yeah, we're going to run around calling all the people that might have that number.
He goes, we get calls for him all the time.
What the fuck?
I don't know what's going on with Felix.
Can you look him up, Brandon, and see if there's a different number?
Oh, yeah, I'm on it.
Somebody needs to be guarding
okay.
the juice.
Something has happened as a result of guarding the juice, obviously.
And maybe OJ murdered him.
I think there's been a threat to his safety as a result of his intensive guarding of the juice. It's got to be guarding the juice related, doesn't it?
Yeah, OJ murdered him, clearly.
It's really weird. I haven't, usually he does bob up somewhere once in a while, plug in that stupid book, trying to get another cruise out of it.
That's really, really funny. Oh, boy. And then I just saw when I was playing that John Stewart thing, you see Mike Ditka's trending.
No. Oh, no. What is I just know he said something crazy.
Can't be good.
What do you think? I think you can figure out what he said without me playing it, because I haven't heard this yet either.
It's probably pro-Trump. Wait, what's the news that Mike Ditka? Football. Big Ten football.
No.
Masks. He wouldn't wear a mask if he was coaching today.
No. What is the last thing he said that people were like, well, you can't say that. Okay, boomer.
I remember, but I don't remember. What was it?
Joining us now by phone is NFL legend Mike Ditka.
It's only 2 minutes long or so.
Chicago Bears. Very fortunate to have you, Coach. Thanks so much for coming on. First question I got for you. Did you even watch yesterday? What were your overall thoughts, Coach?
Oh, I know what it's going to be. What? Okay, he doesn't like the end racism in the end zone. He doesn't like people kneeling for the anthem.
Bing, 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 yeah, okay. Bing, 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 bing,
bing. Duh, that was obvious.
You know, former players and coaches that are on these panels before the game gets started, I would say 70% of that was about racism, social injustice, and police brutality, and not even about the game itself.
Is this guy leading him into this? Jeez.
Why not?
Miss for so
He's
many
trending.
Months. What were your overall thoughts on that?
I agree with you. Football. I mean, it's not a complicated thing. You play the game. You enjoy the game. You don't let the game get out of it. It's not for protesting one way or the other, what color you are, what you think, this and that. Hey, you play football. That's it. You know, you're privileged. You got a gift from God that you can play the game because you got a body you can deal with. I don't really understand what you're protesting. I mean, I played the game, I coached the game for a long time, and it makes no sense to me. You ought to get down on your hands and knees And thank God every night that you can make the kind of money you can make playing football or playing any sport. So, I mean, to me, it makes no sense. So you got the wrong guy.
Well, Coach, just real quick before you go here.
Is he going to lead him into another one?
We are at a different time. It's 2020. We're seeing this now. People not players not coming out of the locker rooms during the national anthem. Some, again, protesting during it. You've been around. You are a legend in this sport. Did you ever think you'd see a day like this? What does this do to you?
He's just trying to get the topic going.
No, totally I would tell those players, go to another country and play football there.
Get out.
You don't have to come out. You don't have to come out to the anthem if you go to another country. You can. Because the game's
hey, if you don't like
country.
America, then you can get
they don't
it.
Play football in another country.
Get the hell out of it.
Canada.
Coach, strong words there. I appreciate your time, sir. Best to you. I hope we get to talk to you again soon. Take care.
Thank you.
Hey, we have Iron Mike's number. Should we call him?
Oh, you want to lead him?
Ask him to explain his comments?
You want to lead him into some other stuff?
Yeah, we heard something about that you supported this kneeling stuff.
Yeah, we don't have the internet, though. So,
so it's unclear to us where you stand. We probably get Diane Ditka again.
It looks like, Brandon, did you happen to find a Jeffrey Felix number? I see you typing something into the computer.
Yeah, a couple of them. I don't know. Obviously, I haven't tried them or anything like that, but there are a couple other numbers that are listed for him.
Why don't you call him on your own, Brandon, and let us know if you get a hold of him so we don't have to go through the doo-doo-doo.
Why, you love that.
I hate that. I don't mind it once in a while. I mean, I like the show's live and, you know, rolling as it rolls nature, but I just don't like a million doo-doo-doots.
Yeah, no, I know.
What I was going to say about Ditka was the first time we came into his home phone number, this is before the Ditka yelling at Joey Marasso. This is way before.
Yeah.
This is like in the 90s, I think. We called him, and Diane Ditka answered the phone, and she was really nice, really sweet, as she was have to be.
Diane, yeah.
And somehow we got into a conversation about, well, we saw Mike on, you know, something yesterday, and something about how, well, yeah, Mike does he does get worked up. And I think I asked her, what's the maddest you can ever recall seeing Mike, you know, over anything at home? And she said, I mean, without even thinking, she goes, well, one night, our son came home late, and he parked behind Mike's car, which is not where he usually parks, and Mike just put it in reverse and went, whoom, bam!
Oh, it's kind of like you before the show.
Yeah, pretty much. Except he didn't have the...
True.
Oh, fuck. Forgot about that. Yeah, so... We have still that Mike number, don't we? If Marasso had it.
Yeah, let me check mine. Sorry, I got distracted. I'm looking
this is just so...
As I dial all these Jeffrey Felix phone numbers.
This is so shit-stirring to even call my Ditka. That whole thing, though, I have to say this. I think it is such a failure because the players don't even like it. So what is the fucking point?
Well, the players don't like what the NFL's
doing. No.
Yeah, no, I know.
And, Colin Kaepernick is ripping the NFL to shreds over what a bunch of bullshit it is.
I will say this. Everybody knows what the NFL's doing is bullshit. But to Iron Mike's point, though, it's like you can't get on all
fours. Go play in another country. You don't have to come out.
But why can't two things exist? Why can't you be thankful for the gifts you're blessed with and still use your platform to say something? Why is this thing? Why is everything an all or nothing?
Well, it doesn't have to be, but you know what? This topic has been going on in football for 5 years now. And honestly,
changed,
what I'm hearing from a lot of people is that can they just talk about something else for a change than just, you know, police? Police are so bad. Police are so bad. You know, it just, I think people are weary of the topic, that unarmed blacks are treated poorly by police or have been killed by police. I just think people feel like the message has been made. And, you know, when he mentioned the pregame show, I told you yesterday, Michael Strahan got in this long thing about it. It's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, he's repeating something that I've heard a billion times. And it's like, I hate to say it, but it's like Dreamweaver. It doesn't even make me mad. It just goes through me because it's like, oh, my God, do they really need to review this? I guess they think they do because it's the and then you get to the game
changes,
and they
I suppose I
and they
know.
Talk about it and then at halftime they talk about it and then they talk about you know who stood and who came out of the locker room who didn't come out of the locker room And I just think it. I think it's not helping the NFL right now.
I was looking at since
it's, it's sort of like, you know, in my opinion, the audience are the customers, and I don't think they think they're the customers anymore. It's like, no, you're going to get this fucking message whether you like it or not. Maybe half of you like it, maybe 60% of you like it. The other rest of you, fuck you. We don't even care if you watch. In fact, LeBron said that about the NBA. He said, you know what? If you feel that way, fuck you. I don't care if you watch.
I was looking, Big Ten was trending too because everybody's just waiting for the official announcement.
Take your time. Big Ten, no hurry whatsoever.
Because some loose-lip president from Nebraska doesn't understand an open mic. But it led me to Brett McMurphy, who does a lot of, he does a lot of good college football reporting. And his Twitter timeline is honestly, this game is canceled because this team has this many positive tests. This game is canceled. And most of it's teams we don't care about, like Arkansas State, who has already played two games. They've canceled one. Florida Atlantic. It's just, you have to dig through all this COVID news to find any other news.
Yeah, I don't even know why it's that big a news anymore because, honestly, most of the games are played. Some aren't, and they'll be made up, I think. I mean, baseball seems to be doing it, don't they? Baseball travels much more than football.
Sure.
Football, you know, if you've got...
But there's more people on a football team, which means, and they're college kids, which means they're going to be out and about a little more.
I'm not sure.
Paid, so what do they care?
I know. I'm not sure how dedicated those guys are to, you know, doing the right thing. Probably more dedicated than a student, in my opinion. I think they're less risky than the student body by miles and miles and miles. You've got 12, 13 games, and so you travel for five or six. So you're really only, you know, and that's not that much.
15 games have been canceled since August 26th.
15.
Which really isn't that many. How many
15 what games? College football games,
yeah.
Well, three weekends? Not that much.
Well, two real weekends, but that's. Two of them are FOD Tech games.
I know.
What's going on there?
I don't know. I have no idea. I'm sure they're partying up a storm. I don't know.
And then also on
By the way, they've lost two good players who just said, you know what, I'm just going to play in the NFL. Fuck you. And Ohio State lost two guys who are supposed to be All-Americans practically. One of them's defensive back?
Defensive back. He's the guy whose dad led the protest charge. It's like, oh, thanks a lot, dude.
Well, I mean, he wanted to play.
I know.
He's saying, I'll play in the pros. You guys don't dick around all you want.
I'll tell you, I don't understand why, what's Clemson's quarterback's name? I'm drawing a total blank. Trevor Lawrence. I don't understand why he's playing. Why play? And let's say,
I don't either. No, I really
I'm
don't.
I'm going to say this. Let's say there was no COVID. I don't understand why he would play this year.
I don't really either.
It's just wasting time because they have that rule.
I think this is going to change a lot of things when it's all over. I think you see a lot of guys, if they're sophomore, you're going, why would I play? Why?
Yeah.
Why would I do that?
Because the NFL doesn't let me go pro. Why am I going to risk anything?
Well, maybe they'll start start playing in Canada for a year for $1 million.
Or just start training with some private trainer or something.
It's really gotten stupid.
And then the last piece of news since I was on Twitter, South Park has set a premiere date for a pandemic special, an hour-long pandemic.
Yes!
I haven't seen the trailer. Should we play it?
Yeah!
Okay.
Yeah, by all means. So let me do this first, though, because Dr. Yelda's back at the Yelda Eye Center, and people are taking advantage of the reopening of doctor's offices to get the life-changing eye surgeries like LASIK or multifocal lens replacement if you're 45 or over. And there's $1,500 off for our listeners if you mention Drew and Mike. Get $1,500 off if you bring a friend, not to watch, but to actually get half off surgery if they end up doing it, or to get surgery, you'll get half off your surgery. So it'll pay for itself, and the money you'll save on eye exams and bringing your friend, and the $1,500 off, and it's a pretty good deal. And LASIK is very safe surgery. It's been very successful. Multifocal implants, same way. I mean, there's always risks, but they are really very, very infrequent. Get a free evaluation. Ask all the questions you want. 800-398-EYES or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. And Luke Nowacki sent me a long email today. Oh, my God. Luke, how could I possibly read all that?
I got it, too.
You did?
It might be a form.
A form?
A massive email he sends to all clients.
Yeah. Well, it's about the market and what's changed.
Volatility.
Did have the update on him passing his COVID. I mean, being negative on his COVID test. Enough time to go back to work. He's so annoyed by that. Not because he wanted to give it to people, but he was just just pissed him off. Overreaction is not the strategy for the long-term investor. Neither is burying your head in the sand and hoping it all turns out for the best. So You should have a plan, and Luke Nowacki helps people make plans. Good plans at Pinnacle Wealth, 248-663-4748. Got a plan for the long term. Your age matters. Your investment strategy matters. The amount of money you want to invest matters, too, and when you'll need it again. And that's why someone like Luke is such a big help. What does it mean now? What does it mean 6 months from now? What does it mean in 6 years, stocks or bonds? Is your 401k invested properly? I don't think many people pay attention to that. Is your, you can also direct your investments in company pension plans or in 401ks or whatever it might be. Call Luke Nowacki. Get a strategy. 248-663-4748 at Pinnacle Wealth Strategies. You have the closer?
Oh, I don't.
Security investment advisory services offered through Reliance on Associates Incorporated. Remember, FINRA, SIPC, Reliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned other entities, and all marketing and product services offered here are independent of Reliance Associates Incorporated.
Wow, that's faster.
Hey, slow down.
Faster than Matt. So there hasn't been a season date, a date for the season to start with South Park, but September 30th, they're doing the pandemic special. And Brandon, I know you remember this. Randy is growing marijuana now.
That's right, Tegrity.
He was growing it last year.
Yeah, he was growing marijuana. Remember, he had his holiday special, his Thanksgiving special, and his Christmas special. That was the brand of the weed, so kind of a meta joke there, but here's the pandemic special.
I am very proud to announce a pandemic special.
One
night. Try and make us go back to skew. You really want to go back to that slavery?
Dude, get out of my house! You could be spreading germs!
Welcome back to class. I'm your new teacher, Detective Harris.
I just want to point out the shot of the kids in class are all behind giant plexiglass, and Detective Harris has the Andy Reid face mask on. Vistiviano, Andy Reid type thing. It's really funny video.
Back to class. I'm your new teacher, Detective Harris.
You guys don't seem totally stoked.
A pandemic special, Randy? Really?
South Park, the one-hour pandemic special. New Wednesday, September 30th at 8.
You are a child.
On Comedy Central.
I love South Park.
They are so fucking good.
God, it's long overdue.
Yeah. Well, 2 weeks, we'll be there.
Yeah. They just do 10 episodes a year, and then they're out. They just do really hard for like a month and a half, and then out.
The season starts September 30th, and it'll roll through the season.
No, they don't. They haven't given like a season start date, really. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. There was a big Detroit story. Can you check the Detroit Free Press on the hostage story?
Oh,
the man holding two people hostage. A 38-year-old man was pulled over at 2:30 a.m. He took off. Then he stopped and jumped out of his car and broke into a home. And police are just like, what the fuck? He fired a shot at the police.
The police probably did go, what the fuck?
I'm sure they did. Well, it turned out that the house he broke into was his house.
Oh. Wow.
And he had two roommates, I guess, who he is holding hostage now. And it turns out that he is a suspect in a triple murder.
Oh, boy.
And allegedly, he murdered three people and then set a fire to cover it up, which that never works. If I had to advise, so many times I've said, you know, if I could advise murderers, I would say, don't bother setting the fire because that you'll just, you know, it's just more things that you're doing.
It's like a waste
you had to
of
go
time.
Buy the gasoline. They'll have the video of you buying the gasoline and or the other supplies. So it's just one less thing to do, and it's one less thing on the to-do list, and it's one less thing you get caught for doing.
You got to get away from the scene of the crime.
So just murder the people and leave them there. So then he, you know, they eventually make contact with him. This is on the west side of Detroit. And he demands to talk to an ex-girlfriend who doesn't want to talk to him.
Oh, boy.
He has held them hostage since 2:30 a.m. last night. And I don't know why he has to hold these guys. I guess because they'll just blow him out if he doesn't have the two people there. But the fact that he's holding him hostage seems to me makes him a little more implicatable in the triple murder.
You think? one hostage has been released.
Oh, nice.
The guy belongs to an area motorcycle gang, too. Did you know that?
Yes.
Did you mention that? Was I not listening?
No, I didn't mention it, but I did write it down. Has the ex-girlfriend softened up a little bit?
I don't see anything about her on here. It's more about the guy whose son, he showed up because his son's being held hostage.
Oh, was it his son that was let go? Because I saw the dad on the news.
Yeah, Richard Nelson Sr. Yeah.
Do they have a picture of the guy holding the people hostage?
I don't see one, no.
Do you think he's black?
No. I mean, I know now. I don't think he is.
Is he white?
The guy
holding the people hostage?
I assumed he was.
You did?
Well,
why'd you assume that?
From seeing the father's hostage. And
wait, you didn't think this triple murderer could have a white friend if he was black?
No, of course you did. But the motorcycle gang too. Sorry, those two.
Wait,
things.
Are black people not in motorcycle gangs?
Well, they might be, but I think genuinely that's typical to white people.
The reason I ask is I'm giving you a hard time because I thought he was white. I just thought he was white, and you said you thought he was white too, which is what I thought.
You hear a story from Detroit, I think the first thing to think is black.
Yeah, you think
it's
black.
Like predominantly.
But then
black.
I saw the dad of the
hostage.
And I was like, oh, wow, it's a white guy. What do you know?
Plus, it's West Side near Telegraph Road.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if we can make sweeping generalizations, but the motorcycle gang was a clue.
Yeah.
But I find it's really fucks me up when a crime is the race that I don't think it is. And oftentimes it can work either way.
It's really fascinating.
I mean, if you tell me there's a serial killer story, I'm sure it's a white guy.
Oh, always
I'm
a white
positive.
Guy.
Positive. Yeah. And if it's a workplace shooting, it's probably a white guy.
Here's a really weird question. Has there been a serial murderer who's a black woman? I mean, there has to be, right?
Well, Carolyn. Oh, no, she's white. Warnos.
Warnos? Oh, yeah.
Got a great clip notes on her.
I mean, they're usually white men.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're a black man. We know that. Carl Watts, isn't that the guy's
name?
Yeah,
it happens. It does happen.
And then Eileen Wuornos. There's just not that many women serial killers.
Clementine Barnabet.
Tell me all about Clementine Barnabet.
Well, apparently she killed up to 35 people.
See?
She was an American serial killer. She...
And
is believed to be born around 1894
in
Louisiana. She had one brother.
There's no electricity then. There's no way we know this is true.
Wait, there's no electricity in 1894?
This could be an old fable.
What are you talking about?
1894, there wasn't a lot of electricity then.
A lot.
Barnabet's killings followed a consistent pattern. She would often murder entire families rather than one person.
Wait, are you telling me?
Using an axe.
Are you telling me you think everybody got an electric bill in 1894?
She cut off all their heads, too.
I think there's enough electricity for you to enjoy a movie about her.
Well done.
Which would probably win the Oscar because it would meet all the check boxes for the new Oscar.
I mean, what should I Google? How many people had electricity in 1900? How about that?
Okay.
How many people in the USA?
Well, she wouldn't have been killing people. This would have been probably around 1920.
Electricity?
Yeah, she was born around 1900.
Yeah.
There's electricity then. What are you talking about?
No, not everybody.
Anyway,
no. There's people who don't have it now.
All right, where did she murder these people,
Barnabet? Listen, hear me out here. At only 18 years old, she
was... Hold on, time out. Breaking news. In 1920, just 35% of American households had electricity.
And?
That's 1 in 3. In 1920.
Yeah, but you said there was no electricity.
No, not much. There's not everybody has electricity. If a movie is from 1920 and they go to someone's house, the chances are 2 in 3 they have no fucking electricity, and they definitely don't have TV.
Where do these murders take place?
Louisiana.
Oh, then you know they didn't have electricity.
Shit. New Orleans. If it was New Orleans, it probably had electricity.
Probably wasn't, or they would have caught her. They have a big police department there.
Should we do a Twitter poll? Did New Orleans have electricity in 1920?
No.
Oh, she was actually sentenced in October of 1912.
I see that. At only 18 years of age. Yeah. In 1913, she tried to escape, but she was busted.
Why is there no movie about her?
Check this out. In August of 1923, they let her out.
What?
And she was never seen again.
Yeah. Oh
my God.
Yeah.
She's enjoying, Clementine Barnabet.
She was enjoying all that new newfound electricity. Were you ridiculous? Oh,
she went on to
found
DTE Energy.
She became president of Louisiana Energy. To her fond love of electricity.
So as far back to the Detroit guy,
yes.
The potential triple murderer, who's probably white.
He definitely is a 38-year-old white male.
Okay, did they?
Chief Craig did give that information.
He still holds one hostage?
That was the update from 2 hours ago. I can check Twitter.
That is almost a whole day. When does this guy crash? I mean, that's the thing.
I have a feeling he's got something to keep him awake.
I was watching this show on ID last night, and this girl was, let's see, she was being held hostage, and the guy had, let's see, has he killed her mother? And, yeah, he killed her mother, and then she is in a room with the murderer who falls asleep. But she said she calls 911 with his phone while he's sleeping. And she's like, yeah, I'm being held hostage at this address.
Call you back.
And the fucking 911 operator keeps asking her questions.
Oh, no.
Like, yeah, where is he? Oh, can't you just walk out of the room? No, the floor's really creaky. Well,
well, I got, okay, wait.
Just run out of the room.
I'm going to defend the 911.
Are they going to be here fast?
I'm going to defend the 911 operator there.
Why?
Well, because logically, when you go, wait, if he's sleeping, why don't you just leave?
Well, she's already thought of that because she really wants to be out of that room. I mean, Mark, if I played it for you, I could probably find it if I looked long enough. You'll believe me, you will think that the 911 operator was reckless in asking too many questions. However, the police did get there, and they busted in, and then she ran out, and the guy's waking up just as the cops arrest him. So that was cool.
Good.
Oh, and there's another show on ID. Oh, my God! Called Signs of a Psychopath. Oh, incredible!
Before you get into that one, though, real quick, Drew, just a couple other things to fill. Like, I do believe that... So, yeah, 38-year-old male in Detroit. They do think that it's, like, drugs mixed with, like, a schizophrenic thing.
Oh, great.
And I'm also surprised, and I'm sure you'll probably talk about it more when you see it, but... There's more of that insane video that was released from Tulsa. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay. Yeah,
that was amazing. Absolutely amazing video. Did you think, Brandon, weren't you shocked that that guy got the gun from the cop?
So two officers in Tulsa were trying to arrest a male that was in a car, white male, for what it's worth, and... They fought back. They tased him a bunch of times. They pepper sprayed him. Just kept fighting. Eventually, he got one of their guns, shoots them, kills one of them. I don't know. At least one of them.
I thought they were both dead.
They might be. I haven't seen the update. It's an awful video. But it goes along with the point that we have to keep seeing all these people die for some reason. It's basically to back one side or another. You know, if you're going to protest against the police and you're going to keep, you know, sending out all these videos and making sure everybody can see the pictures of the latest person that died at the hands of police. And if you're, you know, pro police and Blue Lives Matter, then you have to post all these videos of how cops are dying. And I'm really sick and tired of seeing faces.
Stop watching it. I don't see them.
This is why the people get angry at the NFL, because they support police. And we all know that there's no way the police are going to do the right thing every time. And when you see a video like you see in Tulsa, you go, oh my God, what a clusterfuck. You know, you've got a suspect who is just extremely strong. I mean, he fights these guys off. They're just trying to get him out of the car. Then they've got him out of the car, and it's like, you know, you think, oh, now it's all good, right? No! I would have never dreamed that guy would have been able to overpower both of those people. But, you know, people are, and I think this is true of the guy in Atlanta, you know, the guy that fell asleep in Wendy's and the police killed him. You know, that guy, Rashard Brooks. Mm-hmm. He is about to be cuffed for a DUI. And all of a sudden, they're having a very, I would call it a pleasant interaction. I mean, you remember that? Between the police and the guy that fell asleep.
Yeah.
You know, they were just testing him to see if he was drunk. He was. And they're going to put the cuffs on him. And all of a sudden, the guy just becomes Superman. And he beats both those cops. He takes the taser away from... And there were multiple times where I'm going, oh, there's no way this guy's getting away. But he does. And he runs off with the taser. And that doesn't mean that the cop did the right thing by shooting him. I'm sure we will hear a lot more about that case. You know, there's a lot of these that I watch where I go, oh, God, I don't like that. I wish he hadn't done this. Or I wish the cop would have shot him in the leg. Or I wish, whatever. But when you see stuff like Tulsa, and you see stuff like Compton, you know, people, there is a, I cannot believe the hatred for police that some people have right now. It is just out of hand. And not just those cases, but, for example, Grant Park in Chicago, where you see people throwing fireworks and Molotov cocktails at the cops. And you see them throwing these frozen water balls, and you see cops getting hit in the head, and they're, you know, they're carted off. It's upsetting to me, and I've always been a staunch supporter of police. And, you know, when we started our Drew and Mike Fund, that was to give money to fallen officers, and we gave away every cent because, and I can't remember how much the CD sales raised. I think it was about $300,000. It was a lot of money. And that was probably about 30 police officers who were either injured on the job or killed on the job, you know, over the course of 10, 12 years. And they were all, you know, horrific cases, left these loving widows behind and kids. And now to see the narrative now, which is that, you know, all police are racist and you have to tell your child, if you're black, that before you go out, you know, the police are trying to murder you. So we have to have that talk. And, I hear people say it all the time. I go, oh, my God, that is just insane. The police are out to murder you? No, they're not. And you can be critical of police interactions, and you can be critical of police interactions involving, you know, certain black men. There are, you know, not just George Floyd, but many others. But to say that they're out to murder black people, I mean, really?
You know, I just really hate the fact that, and Mark, you said just don't watch them, but it's the point that these videos are constantly put out there, and it really enrages, you know, one side against another, and they just
how
keep
can it
battling
not?
Back and forth.
How could it not enrage people?
That's the purpose of them.
And that's
shared and spread around.
But, you know, when the mainstream media plays
probably,
along with it.
You'll probably disagree, but can I ask you this? Do you think the NFL protest, the bullshit that the NFL puts on there, is anti-police? That's what you think the message is?
Oh, it's part of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I don't think it's intended.
I'm just,
I don't think it's
seriously
intended.
Asking.
I don't think it's intended. You know, our message is anti-police. I don't think it's stated that way. But it's
what are the messages in the end zone? Isn't it end racism and?
Well,
if
end
anything,
racism
quite
is
benign and non-specific.
I mean,
it takes all of us. I think was the other one. I'm just
I have to
talking.
Tell you that the two messages in the end zone to me are utterly. They're just. I don't know what that really achieves, and I'm not saying it's not noble to say end racism, but.
It's a lot of lip service. I'll agree with that. I don't think when the players are kneeling or whatever their message is necessarily anti-police. Now I know there's a lot of assholes out there that feel that way, but I don't that's not the message I receive from watching it, from all the lectures I've received from it.
Well, I think a lot of people would disagree with you, but Mike Ditka would.
We live in an all-or-nothing society.
I also think part of the problem is, and you know, as you read more and more about this and you see what people say and you hear certain comments, both pro or con, I'm surprised sometimes and I go, oh, yeah, I guess you could think that. You know, for example, the NFL is not really a paragon of virtue when it comes to their behavior off the field.
Not.
And they don't really call out each other either. It seems like the message is always to give the guy a second chance. You know, like the Kareem Hunt, who said that girl called him the N-word, and then it turned out, he was upset because she wouldn't fuck him, and then he actually beat her up.
Sure. I think those are different issues, though, that can both be wrong or right.
Well, they are different issues, but I think when you have a group that is telling you something or lecturing to you, and, you know, you are the paying customers. The paying customers are mostly white, and they're being lectured about racism, which
and don't watch
and that
it.
You all.
There's
Mark,
your boycott.
I'm not telling you necessarily that I feel that way all the time.
I know.
I do think it's overdone and it's been going on too long. I think that's the main problem.
But
and
nothing,
the players don't even like it.
I'm talking about the
players. The Dolphins don't.
The players
aren't even. I mean, there were more than one team that didn't come out for the national anthem.
Nobody likes what the NFL is doing. I'm just talking about the players and their messages.
Well, I have to tell you, the players, I don't even know what their messages are because the only time I ever see a player's message is related to the NFL and the game itself and the pregame show and the, you know, I don't know, this topic is just getting so old and tired. I hate talking about it as much as I hate hearing about it.
The most important thing is that the Southwestern Brush Electric Light and Power Company was incorporated in New Orleans June 11th, 1881.
Well, they're incorporated. They probably were electrifying, you know, one toy.
The Edison Electric Illuminating Company was the first electric company in New Orleans to serve incandescent lighting and other power needs. It was chartered in 1886. Huh?
Well, why didn't more people have electricity then? Why didn't they tell somebody?
Why didn't people did? I think you would miss out on a really good movie if they made it.
Why are you such a fan of Clementine Barnaby? Like, so you're pro her murdering these people?
No, of course not. I don't want anybody to be murdered. I'm just fascinated by the story. We had never heard of it, right?
Clementine Barnaby.
You know, I think I had heard the name.
It's a great name. We've never heard of a black female serial killer. It would check every box if you made a movie about it. It'd win the Oscar.
And you can kind of shy away from the actual script because there's so much mystery surrounding what happened to her at the end. And you can create this whole thing where she was a social justice warrior and everything. She was a social justice serial killer.
If you see Signs of a Psychopath, they had two of the greatest stories on. One was this guy who just... And psychopaths are fascinating because they feel no remorse.
Yeah.
None. They just suddenly get in their head that, you know what? Might be fun to kill those three people. Here's what I'll do. I'll just plan on going over there, hanging out, and then I'll stab him, and I'll get the other one. You know, I mean, they really do. They make this whole big plan, and then this guy who is probably, oh, what's his name? Wait, I Googled him earlier today. Damn it. You know, if you find Signs of Psychopath on there, I have two episodes, I believe, and they're both really good. One is this guy who wants to kill these three people, and when the cops get him in, and they kind of know he did it. In fact, they do know he did it, but they need more. And so they're so when were we over there? I don't know, a week ago, 2 weeks ago. And they go, what's the deal? I just saw him. The two kids weren't there. He killed all three of them. And so they say, well, it's interesting because we saw these three bottles and there's fingerprints on them and they were all there and yours is one of them. So we know you were there maybe a day ago and we think you might have committed this murder. So I think he says, eventually says he needs a lawyer because he's tried to, first of all, when they first bring up the three murders, like, oh, that's terrible. But, you know, as Tolkien says, and he starts like quoting.
Really?
Tolkien?
Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
The Hobbit? What's he? What?
Because psychopaths like to change the subject and control the narrative. You know, they want to control the conversation. So that's something he was into. But it's so makes no sense.
Did they bully
in that
him and call him a nerd for referencing it?
They did not.
Push him down?
But they eventually got him to start talking about the guy that owned the house and suggesting that, well, he, you know, it's kind of good that he's dead because he's a drug dealer. And he's not a drug dealer. And then... and then he basically says, you know, yeah, I did it. And this is basically a service to mankind. I'm glad they're dead.
He's Dexter. Because
the guy's dealing drugs and kids, I said eliminate anybody who was there. And he's so remorseless. And then the next guy, the 14-year-old, no, I think he was 12, he killed two buddies at school. And he is completely remorseless. Like, I just felt like doing it. And then when he's 24, 25 years old, they pass that law that anybody sentenced as a juvenile, case got to be relooked at. We're not just putting these guys away for life. And I got to tell you, some of these, yeah, that's the guy that killed the three people. That story. That's the little boy that he killed. That fucking 7-year-old. Yeah, here he is. Oh, wait, let's see.
Jesse was in the living
room. Ormsby is his name?
Yeah, his name's Ormsby. Pregnant.
I have to ask you. This curiosity is killing me. But you got there and you knew that there were two other people there. What made you continue?
Courage. I mean, I went and I said said to myself I was going to do it. I had it in my mind that I was going to do it.
Another person might have said, I know where he lives. I've been invited in. I'm going to hang out. I'll come back another day and revisit this.
Yeah, he wanted to kill the drug dealer, but then he had to kill all of them because he didn't want to come back.
Kill three people.
Well, time management.
Psychiatrist is saying he could have just come back and killed the drug dealer, but he's not a drug dealer anyway, so.
Psychiatrist.
He just wanted to kill three people.
Psychiatrist is a pretty cool pinky ring. Did you notice that?
I had it in my mind that I was going to break the molds of society and commit such a thing. I had picked my targets because they were bad people.
Seven-year-old.
I think it just speaks to his callous lack of regard for humanity. He made up his mind. He had a goal. He was going to take Jeff out. And
I don't know how you can watch this much true crime.
Well, this is a pretty unique story.
For the psychopath.
Yeah, it's awful.
Oh, it's terrible, but it sure makes your life feel better.
What they're doing.
Nobody's killing me today.
Explanation
that I know of.
And I'm not killing anyone.
No, I'm not killing anyone. To me, look how bad these people are. That lifts me up.
Doesn't tie in at all to the amount of rage this guy really has.
Everything was going fine, and we were talking about, I've been talking about spending the winter in the forest, just camping out. Building a house.
Spending winter in a forest? That sounds like a terrible way to spend a winter.
Jeffrey leads Thane outside to his shed. I think he's going to show him how he built his shed. His
murdering shed?
He was out there to show you some nails or something. And he bent over to get you the nails. What happened?
Jerry.
This music.
I killed him.
You killed Jeff. And how would you do that?
With a knife. Yeah, the music's too loud.
I hate the music.
But Thane Ormsby isn't finished yet.
What kind of name is Thane?
I know. I think that's why he became a psychopath.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
You know what? The other story's better because, go to the other one. This 13-year-old or whatever he was, I think he was 14 and the victim was 13. He is up to be resentenced. And so he's trying to put on this, I know, I learned the error of my ways. I thought it was cool to kill people, but now I know it's really not, it's really mean. And they discover some phone calls he made to his girlfriend.
I don't know what I'm doing, and everybody hates me.
That show that he's really not that remorseful.
This guy looks like a total turd.
He is a total turd. Oh, that's the story before that, which, oh, God, the story before that is...
Not him right there?
Yeah, that's him. This is the right one, but they have the last 30 seconds of the previous story, which is this lady whose two kids were murdered by her husband, and he drove them across the country so he could bury them somewhere she could never find them.
Oh, great.
Nice guy.
Great guy. Where should I go on here?
Go towards the end when you'll see him. They'll have, I think, the audio of him being on the phone with the girlfriend from prison when he's like, yeah, I got to work a big cry for this.
Oh, what a douche.
I know. And some of these guys are getting resentenced, and they're not getting life.
Well, how did she respond to that on the phone call? She just,
yeah, she thinks it's hilarious.
She really does think it's
funny?
Yeah,
she does. Like, oh, wow. No, a nice girlfriend.
Is she hot?
Oh, I'm sure she's really hot.
No, I'm sorry.
Not, probably not. I don't know. This guy's not very hot. I mean, you can have him.
I don't there want he is. His greasy hair. He's got the shortest.
He's got really
hair.
Dumb haircut. That's one of my biggest objections to him.
That is the dumbest hair.
And it hurts me how senseless it was because he was always such a good friend to me.
He's trying to
clap his weird hair. He's coming down
because I haven't seen you wipe your nose or wipe an eye.
I think he's feeling annoyed. She's poking at him. She's saying you're lying, and. I think he probably thinks he did a pretty good job of trying to sound sorry. I mean, that is one difficulty the psychopaths really can't appreciate.
No, seriously, the hair on the sides of his head are longer than the top.
No, it's a bad haircut.
Because they're shallow affect, and that's what you'd call his attempt at crying. It's got the form of it, but there's no feeling.
He's got pretty sweet goatee, though.
I don't think he believes it's wrong, but he's learned how to say it. Over the years, that what he did was wrong.
The facade.
We know how it works, my man.
So watch.
Is not the facade that he is.
They bring the phone calls in. To prove it, prosecutors released recordings of Michael's prison phone calls with his girlfriend. As I said, thanks for listening to the podcast.
No, I think I told you last time that because you know I'm supposed to be going out for my resentencing in August. Just seems like such a needless formality that put me through another psychological interview. I've been interviewed by so many psychologists and psychiatrists over the years, it's ridiculous. And, you know, what more do you want from me? My judge, who happens to be a former prosecutor, is totally on the state side, which is really bad. He's a piece of
Girl, why don't you practice your weekend learning how to cry?
She separated birth of... Why did you fly a kite with a hole in it? Do you hear it?
Yes, I do.
She sounds just like that.
I know.
Why did you go fly a kite with a hole in it?
What more do you want from me? My judge, who happens to be a former prosecutor, is totally on the state side. Which is really bad.
Like most judges.
Come on. Well, why don't you practice your weekend learning how to cry?
Oh, my God.
Why don't you go fly a kite with a hole in it?
No.
He says, I may have to stab myself.
Okay, better bring a sharp object to the interview. Do you have something in your hand, Mr. Hernandez? No. Stab. I can cry.
I swear, look at these tears.
When I have life-threatening wounds, I can cry.
Oh, Lordy.
Oh, man, I'm having so much fun talking to my murderer boyfriend. Yeah, so he got his life sentence. He thought he was getting out. Nope. Sorry.
What made he want from me?
I know. I love how he's so put out by all these interviews. What do you have to do, fuck?
At least you're alive, you asshole.
You know, this guy who murdered his next-door neighbors because he just... In fact, he told the cops when they brought him in, he said, yeah, I killed him. I just want to see what it's like to kill somebody. And they were like, oh, man, really?
Cool.
What happened? So he's talking about how he planned it all and he gave it all this thought. And, it was kind of weird. There were some drinking glasses in her and we found them in her stomach because her stomach, she'd been basically disemboweled. He goes, yeah, I did that. I did that. Sorry. It sucked. But anyway, I just felt like doing it. And then he goes, in fact, I feel like killing you right now.
What?
If I could kill you right now, I would.
End of this interview. See ya. Come on. Come out of here.
So after about, I think it was maybe 3 or 4 years later, they came up with, these people have to be resentenced. Because they're just kids. They're just nice kids who murdered disemboweled people. And they are not fully formed minds. So, of course, everyone involved in that case is like, no, this kid is different. This kid is fucked up. He's a disaster. He was 15 when he did it. Jesus. So he gets on the stand. He's like, I know it was terrible. And I had this, I forgot what they said. He had some syndrome that was, you know, from a bad diet or something. Too much junk food. And it made me want to kill people. Yeah. And I believe he was unsuccessful, but I mean, they really pushed this thing. And he had all these people in the psychiatric side who were like, now, he was, and he's 15, yeah, he was a real asshole, and he was disemboweling people, and we suck. But he's learned the wrongness of his ways, and it was just a temporary thing, an episode, and it'll never happen again.
Unlikely. Jesus.
Yeah. So, there you go.
Other fun news. Remember Virgil Smith? State Senator Virgil Smith.
Yeah, why do I know Virgil Smith?
Remember Virgil Smith was getting it on, and then some lady came in and
he shot up her car?
Yeah, remember that way back in 2015?
Great guy. Yeah, and he promised, in exchange for a short sentence, or maybe it was no sentence, he promised he would never run for office again, and then he ran for office. And he said, yeah, you can't make somebody not run for office.
He has finally reached a plea deal on the felony assault and domestic charges. 5 years later. 5 years.
Well, I think they had to resentence him because he ran for office.
That's why it was still going on?
I'm not sure, but I just remember when he ran for office and it was like, hey, you remember the guy who can't run for office because he shot up his girlfriend's car? He's running for office. It's crazy. And he said, it's illegal. You can't tell somebody they can't run for office. And so at that moment I said, okay, then the plea's broken and he goes to jail.
It just seems
so. What the fuck is so hard about this? He didn't live up to his promise. Put him in jail. That's how he got out of jail.
I was shocked to see his name in the news again. I'm like, that story was so old.
Well, so what is the punishment for this dick?
So he did spend some time in jail, I guess.
Not much. No, he was supposed to get
9 months originally.
I think he was supposed to get like 3 years, 3 to 5 years or something. And they gave him a very brief sentence. How long?
9 months is what he spent.
9 months.
Original charges,
and that was with the promise that he would not run for office, which is like, okay, first of all, why would that even matter? Because who would put somebody in office who shoots at their girlfriend's car? But he was polling. He actually had a chance to win.
Yeah, it looks like he is just going to stay on probation for a while.
Oh, good. That's a good lesson.
But I believe he'll have the felony assault charge on his record, so now he really
that record, I'm sure he really cares about his record.
The other interesting story, you see Rashida Tlaib and Debbie Dingell Yeah. Or met at Amazon.
Yeah, they're,
the story's ridiculous.
I know. They're saying that Amazon is unsafe and Romulus, and they called the police?
Yeah, because they just showed up because of Amazon's quote-unquote open invitation to come check it out.
Were the employees complaining that it was unsafe?
Yeah. I mean, come on. We've heard Amazon employees protest and complain all the time, right? About the conditions of working there and the $15 an hour. So that's why they claim they went to go visit it. But, you know, they get there and some security guard's like, I don't know who the fuck you are. You can't come to, you can't just show up to the warehouse.
This is Amazon!
Around unannounced, even though they claim they had this open invitation. So that's why they called the police on them. To which the dingle.
Do you know who I am?
Rashid Tlaib said, they were running around cleaning up the place while they were outside. I'm like,
oh, because they saw Rashid. Oh my God, Rashid Tlaib and Debbie Dingell here, clean it up!
Yeah, so they clean up the whole warehouse.
Really?
While they were waiting for the police.
Why would they care?
It smells
Bezos
about,
is who's in trouble.
It smells of a tent of an, you know, a stunt.
Yeah, it does.
What time? Did it give a time that they went? Because it sounded like it was at night, too.
Amazon said it was
in the
evening. One of their night shift security guards. I don't know. That could start at 5 o'clock.
Well, I mean, is the open invitation just like, hey, you can come anytime? And Brandon, then they're like, surprise, it's 3 in the morning.
The open invitation still has to be scheduled. I'm sorry. It's not an open door to come in whenever. It's going to be an open invitation, but we're coming with you at an agreed-upon time.
I'm not sure what the point is.
It's just to say, hey, we're really
we're doing something.
Taking it to Amazon.
We're on guard. Brandon, do you ever look at Reddit cringe?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, I got an email from
Philip. Very cringy.
And this one is called...
Very cringy. So it's living up to its name.
Yeah, no, and it's what's funny is some of them, you know, people go, hey, I'm not cringing at all. I thought that was kind of cool. There's one... Okay, first of all, there's a beach party, which is huge. No masks, of course. It's all teenagers. And these two girls are fighting. This hot blonde and a kind of cute brunette. They're both in...
It's a titty fallout?
Bikinis. I hate that word so much. So
what else are you going to call a bathing suit?
Bikini. You're wearing a bikini. I mean, I can't say the word normally now. It just and every time I think of the word, it sounds so stupid.
Well, he's left one legacy behind. It's not all the porn. It's the way he says the word
bikini. So the brunette has a Red Sox jersey on, and they just have them split up. And everybody's like, okay, you know, because people were jumping in the pile. Like, oh, split them up and get away from these girls. And the brunette just goes up and just throws a right, smacks her right smack in the eye, the nose. And she's got a nose ring, and there's blood around the nose ring because she obviously tore her nose up a little bit. But anyway, there was one that I thought was worth watching. We didn't watch the angry parent at the principal, did we? They have a lot of bombing stand-ups on Reddit Cringe, too, which can be very funny. Do you see it, Brandon, in Reddit Cringe? It's like a lady's face in a car, and she's very angry at Amy McGuire, the principal.
Oh, boy.
You know who I said? You know which one I did see while scrolling through?
What?
The God Warrior chick.
Marguerite Perrin.
I love Marguerite.
Her name, yeah.
She's awesome. Let me see if I can find it from Phillips. I can find what it's labeled.
This one's called The Queen of Karens. Stand up. Oh, boy. There's, of course, the...
is she yelling?
The Pelosi and Kramer thing that was earlier today.
What deal can we have, Crazy Nancy? I'm sorry. That was the president. I have such reverence for the office.
Fake.
I would never use that term, but it is
but
hard.
But you just did.
Oh, come on.
But you just did.
You know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
The reverence I have for the office is so great.
What's the name of this? What's the title of the video?
I think it's Angry Parent or... Fuck. Angry Mom. Oh, Angry Mom records a message for her kid's principal.
Do. Beep, bop, warp. Here we are.
Got it? Oh, yes, sir. That's her. And she is pissed.
What about? I mean, pissed. any setup for it? Or?
No, I think she pretty well explains it, but she has been, what she's really upset about is that a sheriff gave her a no trespassing order at school Look, lady, you're out of hand. You're trespassing at the school. And
I'm
she
already
does
on
it.
The school side. I don't even know what it's about.
She does it. She's upset because her kids were there, and the kids were frightened by the sheriff, which I'm not sure if they really were. But
they probably thought kids love sheriffs and uniforms. And they probably thought it was cool.
That's what I was kind of thinking. And she is so mad at Amy McGuire, the principal there. She is suing.
Nice doxing Amy McGuire, by the way.
Amy McGuire will never work in the school system again. And the sheriff is done. He is totally done. And then also, she's livid because her youngest one begged her to observe him playing. So when they were in their recess or whatever playing, so she watched him play for a while. And for some reason.
How old?
I don't know, Mark. I think she went in the lunchroom and ate lunch with the kids. Spoiler alert. You need to get over your kids.
Why?
You got to let your kids go. This is school, and the parents, you're not in class. Your kids are in class.
Why would she want to be here? Go to lunch with your friends.
After her kid begged her to watch her play, she said, you know, you've been watching a little too long because you go on your way. You got other stuff to do.
Yes.
And that really upset her. So that's kind of the setup. She's upset about a lot of things, and she's really, really.
Wait, before you play, you know what I really feel bad for? Her husband, who's going to have to hear all about this later
over
tonight.
Over and over.
Go ahead.
I went back after I found the no trespassing order that I got from the school.
She's going to break her bracelet. She's so mad.
I'm still in the fucking elementary school. I'm still in Roseau County School. I'm fucking shutting that whole entire fucking school. Amy McGuire, principal, Roseau Elementary School. Guess what, Amy? You're never going to be able to work in elementary ever again.
What?
When I'm fucking
goodbye,
done with
fucking
you.
Shit, school.
Fucking want to say that you're a principal to fucking Whoa. Kids. I just
nice mom.
Fucking broke my bracelet. That's how fucking angry I am. You want to fucking lie, Miss McGuire? Do you want to fucking lie?
I guess mom do knows best.
Let's look at this fucking no trespassing order. Why don't I?
Uh-oh.
Not checking in at elementary office of noticing us of your visits in advance. That wasn't the fucking agreement.
Yikes.
Now was it? You fucking cunt bitch. Motherfucking psychopathic principal.
Psychopathic.
Wasn't
regular
the agreement?
Mom, cool mom.
No, because I didn't make the agreement with you, you fucking bitch. I didn't make the fucking agreement with you when I called the fucking school.
And that green
when
thing.
I got the okay.
She's wearing
they
green.
They fucking told me all you have to do is come to the office and sign in. And guess what, you fucking bitch? I fucking signed in every fucking time. You want to know why? Because I am not retarded enough not to. Because of Ren. Whoa. You fucking psycho bitch.
Hi, mommy.
This is an
yeah,
eight,
you know,
seven
tough
and a,
being a single mom, you know.
7.5 minutes she goes on and rants
yeah.
like this.
Are you guys getting uncomfortable?
It's
no,
cringy.
I have a feeling it's going to be a little more repetitive for the next.
Well,
six
she has some other issues to take up.
Oh, great!
You, those are my children.
Yeah, I feel bad for them.
Not remaining in lunchroom commons or the space in the office. Oh. Excuse me, you fucking douchebag bitch! Fucking busted again! Aren't you?
Busted for what?
Aren't you, you
eating lunch, going to the cafeteria?
Bitch.
Yeah, she's busted.
That wasn't agreed upon in certain places! At all!
You down there!
At all! At all! And I went back to the fucking police station! I did! And they said, oh, you were outside for a little bit with Jaylee. And I said, guess what?
Wait.
My daughter begged.
Yes, Jaylee begged her to watch her play. Okay, you'll hear.
That's a name?
Jaylee, yes. That's her.
I don't know what we're yelling about.
Her youngest is Jaylee.
I have one message for Jaylee.
Why don't you go tell your mom to shut up?
Anyway, I got one message
for
her.
The point about Jaylee is very important.
I don't listen to women yelling. I tell them to shut up.
She's very upset.
Me to watch her.
She begged
her. I asked if that was okay. And they said, oh, sure. Just come outside and watch her. And then they said, you've been out here a little bit too long. You should probably leave. That is what they fucking did. Jaylee begged me to watch her play.
She has so much spittle coming out on each side of her mouth. It's disgusting.
When your child begs you, you can't leave the school. The kid begged you. She begged her.
Yeah, right.
And the kid is giving the orders, and mom knows that.
I don't think I've ever been this mad about anything.
I don't think I have either, that I'm aware of.
I feel like that says a lot about me.
Begged! That is
begged her.
The best interest of the fucking child, to let me watch her fucking play because she begged. You fucking idiot! Fucking school! Idiot! Fucking school!
She's in her car. It's got to look weird if you're walking by.
And then recording and publicly posting videos while in the building and on school property. Here's another fucking lesson for you,
film,
fucking
idiot.
Bitch! Here's another fucking lesson.
Okay.
Nobody there talked to me about fucking posting videos. Publicly or not publicly. Ever!
She posted something.
I'm not dumb enough
about
to post
McGuire
fucking videos of other people's fucking kids.
Well, apparently you are, honey.
I posted pictures, and I got a video of me and Owen in the fucking principal's
office.
Yeah, it was
just her and Owen, though.
Where he is doing an art.
The rule is they don't want other kids in the shot, but it was just her and Owen.
That's
and they
the
put
rule.
This on the trespassing thing, that she was putting stuff on social media with other children. It was just her and Owen.
Yeah, geez.
What the fuck?
Whoa, you're angry.
So she Everyone understood the rule.
Everyone loves it, mama.
She didn't break the rule.
Now, I got a question about her eyebrows. Are those perfectly formed into, like, the
aren't
angry
they?
Face?
They're kind of like Paul McCartney eyebrows, aren't they? Sort of dancing off her.
It's like when you draw a picture of a person and you want them to look mad, and you just put the slant that goes down.
Yeah. It's like Uncle Leo on Seinfeld. You're so perfectly right, Brandon.
Class, because he wanted to. So guess what? Fucking Roseau County fucking school! I'm coming for your fucking ass.
Their official
I'm
name.
I'm suing the fucking shit out of fucking you.
Ooh.
Suing you fucking big for fucking serving this to me in front of my fucking son. Where my fucking son was looking at me like, Mom, what's happening? Mom, what's happening? He was panicking.
Probably because you were losing your shit.
Sheriff! There! Oh, shut
Calm down! It's okay!
Fucking put his hands on me! In front of my baby!
I wonder if she's mad because this is like cringe. Hey, you made Reddit cringe!
Instead of suing them, why don't you just pull your kids out of the school and go somewhere else?
Because the same thing will happen at the next place.
No, but she doesn't.
Now, you have one more chance!
Run! In front of him! Who the fuck do you fucking think you are?
I have a feeling
McGuire?
He's seen worse.
You're fucking done in education.
Ooh.
Done.
Goodbye, done. Fucking shit. Fuel.
You don't fucking have the right to be a public.
Ooh, she is real slobbering.
For children.
She's foaming
you
at the mouth.
You fucking allowed me and my son to be abused in front of other fucking children.
Oh my God!
Fucking babies, and then to have a fucking sheriff put his fucking hands on me in a fucking school with kids.
I think the sheriff's done.
Sheriff, Roseau County, guess what?
You're done.
You're fucking being investigated.
For what?
And I'm suing you too for what you fucking did.
You fired.
She's nuts.
A mass drop is just perfect for this.
To show me the fucking order of protection that literally says denied.
Yikes.
Says denied. And where it says Wren requests a hearing, you fucking retard.
Oh, you're canceled. Oh, you're canceled.
Oh, she's done it.
Fucking retard, Sheriff.
Oh, you're canceled again.
Canceled. Canceled! You in the green.
Serve it to me in front of fucking babies. You guys deserve to have your fucking ass beat. Raina, here's the fucking deal, you fucking piece of shit. Get the fuck off of my fucking Facebook.
Ooh.
Yeah, I am a little bit fucking crazy. It's my fucking babies.
Oh, she streamed this live.
Shit.
You moron.
Don't tell me my business, devil woman.
And then we have fucking Melissa's piece of shit, disgusting partner, like the video and say, haha, when he literally got in my fucking face and was threatening to me.
She's responding out of people that are on the live field.
That's great.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I wish she wasn't so mad. Maybe she's cooling off now.
You want to see how fucking psycho I am about kids? You just fucking saw how much I will protect the shit out of my kids and every single fucking kid on the planet.
Ooh.
I am psycho about the fucking protection of fucking children. Psycho about it.
I believe
you. Why you fucking let my ex-husband abuse me and my fucking babies?
Oh, wow. I don't think that's why he's an ex-husband.
Who the fuck do you fucking think you are, Roseau County Public School?
I wonder if he's around.
And the fucking sheriff's department.
Wow. Okay.
Tremendous school.
So, yeah, she was definitely not...
Hard to believe your marriage isn't working out.
Nice woman. I like her, actually.
Actually, there's
fucking nut.
I know, and she's I gotta see if there's a grand finale in the last 15 seconds.
You gotta love somebody for posting some Reddit cringe.
Who the fuck do you think you are? You're about to get fucking motherfucking energetically punched, bitch.
Ooh, wow, that's a punch, but...
Energetically?
You better fucking take a step back, Roseau Elementary, because I'm taking you down. Big!
When is modern science going to find a cure for a woman's mouth?
You got to love that. Roseau Elementary, you're going down!
I do admire the name checking. There's a career in there. I just don't know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, she's something else. Reddit cringe. There you go.
Hey, did you know there's a new radio position opening because someone got canceled and fired today?
What? No.
Oh, you didn't?
I don't know anything about it. What is it?
God, man.
Sounds exciting.
Brandon, will you pull up a picture of Maria Taylor? Do you know who Maria Taylor is? She is the sideline reporter, typically for Herb Street and Fowler in the new college football. Beautiful woman.
Oh, gorgeous. Yeah. I know who she is.
Super tall, very smoking hot.
She's not canceled, is she?
She's not canceled. She wore a very sexy outfit on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
And
was it, too sexy?
I thought she looked really hot.
Can I see the outfit before we proceed?
Here's the outfit.
Where?
Right here on my computer. Oh, there you go. Brandon's got it up there too.
The one in the leather thing with
Yeah, that's not the best picture. But she looked great.
Let me see your picture.
Here's a better. She looks good, right? No?
Yeah, she looks good. I agree.
I mean, it's a weird jacket, but whatever. It's pretty fashion forward.
I don't know if I would wear that on Monday Night Football, but whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's not
crazy.
She is
pretty. Wow.
She's really pretty, and it's, you know, she can probably get away with that, but I'll just say this. I can easily see someone saying that it is a fashion faux pas.
Dan McNeil, he's an on-air hosted in Chicago. Yeah. 60-70 The Score. 670 The Score. Do you know him?
Skin knows him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think Skin likes him, too. I mean, I think they're friends.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that adds a little more color to what he tweeted about her.
Uh-oh.
He wrote, NFL sideline reporter or a host for the AVN annual awards presentation.
Wait, and he's fired for this?
He got blown out for that.
What?
I know. Well, that's why I
wondered. Are you fucking kidding me?
That's why I wondered.
What is going on? I got to tell you.
Is there something else in this guy's personnel file?
No, I don't think so. I really don't.
That's
this is
bullshit,
what is making me absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I don't like what he said, but that's ridiculous to fire him for that.
That is total bullshit. I thought that, you know, I understand that the hockey guy was not popular. I guess he wasn't. I guess everybody hated him.
Mike Milbury.
Milbury.
Yeah. But what he said, women being a distraction... Fired?
Yeah.
Really? Fired? For saying women are a distraction in the bubble?
Yeah.
I mean, are you telling me, why aren't women allowed in the bubble? Because they're a distraction, right? And also they could get COVID and they could take it out of the bubble. They could bring it in the bubble. But, I mean, who would not agree if you had a cheerleading championship and there were no men allowed in the building? I would say, and someone said the men are a distraction. I would say, yeah, they probably are.
Yeah, but guys are distraction. I mean, if you had buddy in the bubble too, they're a distraction. And I think
There aren't buddies in the bubble,
huh?
There aren't buddies.
No,
in the bubble.
I know.
You know how the subject with guys.
Uh-huh. I mean, I just thought that was insane, and this is insane, and this is fucking sports.
Yeah,
sports. Is this? I mean, I feel like it's just not sports anymore, and a lot of it comes from, you know, I realize sports are forward thinking. And, you know, we want to have females doing play-by-play. We want to have females coaching NFL teams. We want to have females playing quarterback. And, you know, we want to do all these things that are, you know, should happen. Not when they will happen, but they just should happen. So we're going to make them happen.
So apparently he was at WMVP. And he was suspended twice, once for an on-air fight with his co-host, and another time for calling a female producer a bitch while they were on the air. Like, he was mad at her,
you know,
so he got rehired to The Score 2018.
I think we should call Skin, or we should call, who else is it? Chicago. Oh, my friend Gio would know all about this. Damn it. I mean, who should we, there's got to be somebody.
Oh, boy.
Who are our Chicago correspondents?
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's fucking insane. Really? What's the company that fired him?
I don't know who runs The Score.
Can you believe what a bunch of pussies we have become in this world?
Sure. That's why I wonder.
What bullshit is that?
That's why I wonder, is it an ESPN station and they didn't like them talking about another ESPN personality?
Yeah, that's
CBS.
Possible. You know, ESPN.
CBS Intercom. Yeah, CBS. Westwood One.
ESPN two. Wields a lot of power in that area, and they do. That's the kind of thing they go apeshit over.
Or ESPN, as it's known in the biz.
But you know what I think is laughable about that is, who do they hire to do their shows? Their token girl in every show, or their token sideline girl? The hottest women they can find. I mean, do they ever have anybody who isn't hot doing those jobs? No.
Beth Mowins. Who's the one college
sideline? Well, she was play-by-play.
Who's the one college
sideline? What happened to Beth Mowins?
What happened to Michelle Tafoya? I mean, she was a sideline reporter.
Mark, they're 99% of them are super-duper hot. But nobody's allowed to say anything about it. Nobody's. I mean, if you even suggest that they're anything but a token employee, then, oh, my God, you need to be canceled.
Well, that's why I wonder if he were to con. This is just playing that game. I wonder if he were to comment on it but not say AVN, which is the porn awards.
Right.
If
it's a joke.
But it's a joke. That's what I'm saying.
No,
it's a tweet.
Believe me,
it's a joke, and
I
you can
get it.
Fired.
I get
wow.
it. I understand that. I'm kind of...
I mean, this
I'm
is...
I'm as flummoxed by it as you are. I just, once again, I don't know why anybody has to tweet. nothing good. Did he really think he was going to get a lot of likes and follows for that?
Fired?
No, really? I'm sure he never thought he was going to get fired for it.
I don't even know if I'd give that tweet a second thought.
Oh, what do you mean, second thought?
I don't even know if I'd be going, should I put this up there or not? I think, you know, most people just go, pfft. Although, I mean, that isn't what really strikes, that's not what comes to mind when I see it.
Well, you know, if she would have worn that to the AVN Awards, she would have been the most clothed woman. So, I mean, it's kind of a compliment.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what? I'm going to let me text Skin.
She looked great, by the way.
Gosh, she's so really bizarre. No, she's beautiful.
How tall is she?
I wonder, is she mad about it? Maybe she's really mad.
She did tweet late last night about it, which is why I wondered if they were an ESPN station. Let me see if I can find exactly what she wrote. But Awful Announcing picked it up because they always, you know, pick up that stuff.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can find the response again.
Did you hear about Dan McNeil, right?
Yeah.
McNeil.
So
being fired? Skin?
So Awful Announcing picked it up and Maria Taylor tweeted out the story and wrote, "Well, Danny dearest, if you would like to continue making sexist comments about me, please bring your misogyny with you to the NBA countdown
fuck
doubleheader
yourself.
I'll be hosting tomorrow night. Hey, ladies, remember you can wear whatever you feel confident in. At 670
oh,
The Score,
fuck
at Danny
you.
Mack." So
that's you.
Why.
Fuck you.
That's why right there.
Check your misogyny. Well, you know what? Your selection is rather misogynistic because you're super duper hot, probably 20 times hotter than every other candidate. And do you think that had anything to do with getting that job? Seriously. Do you think that had nothing to do with her getting that job?
I'm sure. But she's on camera. You got to be camera
ready. She's like the hottest chick on TV. And does she add that line? Can you quote her? Can you tell me something incredible that she's done or some incredible work she's done? I'm not trying to knock her. I'm just saying.
Quote any sideline reporter.
Oh boy! Do you remember when somebody was?
They never say anything.
Do you remember when we used to work in sports radio and someone made a comment about?
Yes.
I think they asked if Linda Cohn was hot.
No, it wasn't Lisa Cohn. It wasn't Lisa. It wasn't Linda Cohn. It was
Michelle Beadle.
It was Michelle Beadle.
By the way, okay. who has a great sense of humor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, because of that, one of our best bits on another program had to be stopped, and that pissed me off.
Yeah, because ESPN said, "Oh my God, how dare someone comment on one of our employees being attractive? We hire the best qualified person. Never do we hire the most attractive." Sure, sure you don't.
Bullshit.
You know, whatever. Well, I'm sure she feels so good that he got fired. Does that? Do you think that really made her feel better?
That's what you always wondered. Did she want this? Sure, she. I mean,
maybe she did. Maybe she was that upset. I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of times people who are now in that position do wield a lot of power, because if somebody says something they don't like and they really go off on it, it's like, oh, look at what this terrible man has done to this woman who just is reporting and doing her job on the sideline.
Hey, Mike Gundy said it best.
Social media and Twitter is what's destroying this country anyway.
Well, thankfully, we're going to have the, I don't know what they're calling it, but the strike. Did you see all the celebrities that are striking tomorrow from...
No.
Oh, Instagram and Facebook?
They're striking?
Yeah, it's...
It just seems like they're doing us a favor.
Kim Kardashian West is one. Mark Ruffalo is another. He said today...
Mark Ruffalo. Shut up, Ruffalo.
Freezing their Facebook and Instagram accounts for one day to protest the spread of hate speech and misinformation on the platforms. A couple... 1,200 companies...
Oh, really?
1,200...
Really?
1,200 companies have joined the boycott... Unilever, which, you know, is a big like soap and, you know, big corporation for a lot of household stuff. Verizon, Adidas, Ford, they're all pulling their advertising for one day. And this reminded me of, remember when people had the email that would go around about protesting gas? They're like, don't get gas on Tuesday to show how much purchasing power
right.
we have. And
right.
Like, yeah, but you're going to get gas Wednesday and they're going to have more sales. So what's the point? Because you know these people will be right on board Thursday with Kim Kardashian. Come on, she's going to take a picture of her and her Spanx, and because she's selling that now.
Her pregnant Spanx that she got in trouble for.
They're protesting.
Being pregnant is beautiful.
Yeah, exactly.
Hate speech.
Yeah. Which then I thought, oh my God, Wednesday on these platforms on Facebook and Instagram is going to be nothing but hate speech then if all these people are gone.
Will they ever go on strike for objectifying women on Instagram? Will that ever happen?
That's how they mean.
No. Well, would you say that's a rather huge problem with Instagram?
Yeah, but they...
objectify themselves.
Yeah.
But so then they say, I'm empowering myself because I'm making money off my TNA.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that?
Do you read the comments underneath the...
all the time.
From time to time?
Yeah.
Are they really empowering themselves, do you think?
I'm sure they feel empowered. I want to stop them from doing that.
No, I don't want to stop them.
Do you think Clayton Patterson feels empowered when he posts his pictures?
Who?
Clayton Patterson.
Oh, yeah, sure he does. No, I don't... They can do whatever the fuck they want. But exactly. To act like Instagram is trying to clean up its... We're going to get the hate speech out of here. This is such a serious problem. And actually, the whole thing lives. All the clicks are for women in almost no clothes.
Yeah.
That's what all the clicks are for on Instagram.
I think it's more about Facebook than Instagram. It's just because Facebook owns Instagram. But it's going to fall on deaf ears. It's not going to do anything. The real... advertising boycott did get Facebook to change some stuff when those companies were like, we're not going to advertise on Facebook. And it worked for a while. But one day accomplishes nothing. Nothing.
That's a joke. And it won't stop hate speech for one second.
Meanwhile, Kanye West says, you know what? I'm not going to release any music on Sony or Universal.
Yeah, I saw that. Until they release him from the contract, good luck with that.
And he also needs a public apology from J. Cole and Drake. I don't know why. But then he compares himself... Moses too. I didn't know.
Yes,
that.
Yes, Moses.
But to Nat Turner, I mean, you know who Nat Turner is, right?
Is Nat Turner?
Slave that led a big rebellion, killed a bunch of white people. Back in the 1830s or whatever. I mean, very well known slave rebellion. In which all I can think of, does Kanye really feel like he's a slave to Sony and Universal?
I think Kanye West has done pretty darn well.
He has more freedom than any individual in the world, almost.
I don't think whatever constraints he feels there are have really been very constraining to him.
Well, like he tweeted, quote, I'm the second richest black man in America.
Ooh.
And then he said, I need all my people with me for us to be free. For you to get out of your record deal?
You know.
And then he also said, I'm waiting to meet with Jay-Z. Which is like, well, maybe Jay-Z doesn't want to meet with you. Maybe Drake and J. Cole, whoever that is, don't want to issue an apology.
You know, he probably will end up getting out of the Universal Sony deal somehow. I mean, they'll work something out if he really wants to get out of it.
Free.
No. But what does he want to do? Does he want to start his own record company?
I thought he was going to be president.
He's running. But, you know, this is really laughable when these people like Kanye West and Taylor Swift, who have enormous power and have made hundreds of millions of dollars with their music, and then they act like, I'm a fucking slave! Yeah. This is bullshit! And he posted screenshots of a conversation he had with his lawyer where his lawyer's saying, well, we might get a breach because they're not promoting you enough, which is like, oh, really?
Yeah,
they don't promote Kanye West. And then he says, maybe the best thing is to buy the masters. Taylor Swift's were worth $300 million, so I think yours are going to be worth more than that. So, yeah, that's not really getting out of your contract. That's buying your way out of your contract. And then, so I'm watching this story covered on, it was on, well, I saw it a few places today, but one of them was TMZ. And they're talking about, he says that he's the new Moses. And they're going through some of his other, recent comments, which have been pretty off the wall. But, you know, it's funny how they always call them off the wall when they're actually incredibly racist or whatnot. And so Charles and Harvey decided that, we understand what Kanye's saying, and his heart's in the right place. Which,
that's because they want him on their stupid show.
Yeah, but don't a lot of people say it about Kanye West. That, he's just off his meds, and, he really wants the right thing. And I don't understand, why do people cut him so much slack?
I don't know.
I really don't. Because
they like his music and his clothing? I don't know. Why don't people... Hey, people
they really like his clothing that much?
That's what makes the bulk of his money now.
Yeah, that's the majority of his money.
Do you see it? Do you see people wearing it?
No. But I don't know if I hang around the people that would be spending money on Yeezy.
But people, I'm just talking about the people in media who would provide commentary on this. They're not the kind of people that wear Kanye's clothes.
No.
I mean, I don't understand, why does he get so much slack? I mean, even he's got sponsors who just sit through all this. Because
they want to make money. TMZ wants to make money off of them.
Well, then,
that.
But the thing is, it's like this whole deal where... We cancel anyone who says the wrong thing, even once. You know, this guy says, she on AV Anderson. Fired! Gone! Kanye West says, slavery's a choice! And people go, his heart's in the right place. So, in other words, again...
Wait. The right should start saying that for Trump. His heart's in the right place. He's just off his meds for the last 5 years.
Well, I mean, they're similar. Sort of similar in a way. But nobody says that about Trump.
That's right.
I think you'll be happy to know that Ashton Kutcher and Olivia Wilde and Leonardo DiCaprio and Jamie Foxx and Jennifer Lawrence are all postponing their social media.
Oh, I'm so happy.
To which I think, do you think Jennifer Lawrence even knows this is going on, or whoever runs it goes, okay, yeah, we're on board too.
I'm just so happy they're going to make a difference.
as if
I love when people make a difference.
As if Leonardo DiCaprio is running his own fucking Instagram.
DiCaprio, who's nailing every 22-year-old and hottest 22-year-old, it basically becomes a receptacle for his penis.
Yeah, give your dick a break for a day.
I'm wondering.
It's just silly. Amy Schumer's involved.
Leonardo DiCaprio, he stands for so much. Basically banging the hottest chick available at all times.
Oh, you'll be relieved to know that Judd Apatow was taking a day off. Kerry Washington, Sarah Silverman. So all these people.
The big question is there going to be a celebrity who posts and then has to apologize for posting on strike day?
Wait,
probably.
That list that you just gave, I wouldn't say that entire list is exactly free of hate speech.
What do you mean?
Well, it depends on what you call hate speech, I guess. I guess certain hate speech is okay.
Other
hate speech is not okay.
Leanings,
yeah. So anyway.
Scooter Braun's taking a day.
I'm watching this this story about Kanye West today, because I'd seen the story and I was like, he's acting like Sony and Universal are so mean to him. And, you know, Michael Jackson pulled the same routine and he claimed that they didn't promote his album. Mm-hmm. It's like, they promote nothing but his album when it came out. I mean, and he called himself a slave, which was a big joke. I mean, it's really, isn't he ripping off Prince's act
kind of.
When he did that? I mean, that was ridiculous. So they go on from that story, and I guess they're stacking stories here, which is good. And they start talking about the 19 black families who are creating their own town in Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
They're buying 97 acres, and they're basically calling it white-free safe space because there'll be no white people, only black people. So, of course, everyone will get along because the white people aren't there to fuck it up, right?
How does that work? I mean, how can they legally do that?
Well, that's what Harvey and Charles were so fascinated by, was that they were saying, oh, somebody's talking about doing a reality show on this, and they're talking about what a great idea it is because there's some great issues like how are they going to handle the police department? And, you know, the brutality against black people. But they're creating their own police department, so it'll be a really good police department. So that'll be really interesting.
Jesus.
But they did not talk about the fact that it was white-free. I guess that was not news to them.
Well, what is the... I mean, honestly, how can they do that?
Well, there is a note in there that says that black-loving families are... They will be allowed to join the community.
Black-loving white families.
Do we have to pass a test?
Do the black families have to be white-loving families? Because originally they said white-free safe space. They did.
Well, there's, I mean, I hate to say it, but there's a lot of white-free places in the city of Detroit. Why don't they just move here?
I don't know why. I guess they're southern people.
I think it's just trying to prove a point. Of what the point is, I don't know.
All right, so kind of winding down here. Let's see. Kid drummers. I kind of covered that. I just can't believe people complain because I fairly critique
not
a 3-year-old.
You were very mean to
with a Boston Pops.
That
3-year-old with a Boston Pops. He was horrible. He deserved all the hate he got, all the thumbs down, and the thumbs down were for his father more than for him because his father was standing there, you know, pinching him and slugging him when he's playing with the Boston Pops. And you have all these adult Boston Pops people who've been in the Boston Pops for 30 years, the most respected musicians in all of New England, and they're being upstaged by a fucking 3-year-old who's got an ego the size of New England. That kid had the biggest ego. He wouldn't stop drumming.
I know, that kid sucks.
Until his father punched him. He was full of himself. I hate seeing a brat that is so full of themselves like that. It's bullshit!
What
and the 10-year-old, by the way, who's really good, and she's a good cover drummer. I admit that. If the sequence has already been created by someone else, she can copy it.
If she would have played original music, you would have been like, I don't know what this is. Can't she play something I know?
Does she have original music? I've never seen it.
Yes, I'll find an original
song. Okay, I'll see it.
What's her name?
See how good it is. It's probably on the charts by now, right?
Her name is Nandy Bushel.
I think she's adorable.
I'm sure it's
adorable. Like
it's adorable when she flips her sticks every 2 seconds and wears sunglasses indoors. That's the kind of 10-year-old I want to hang out with.
I showed it to Charlotte today.
What'd Charlotte think?
She wants to get a drum kit.
Ah!
And I said, that's fine, honey, but I think you need to take some other musical
Well, can you
lessons.
Show her a drummer that doesn't wear sunglasses inside? You want Charlotte wearing sunglasses inside while she's drumming?
Yeah, if she's a fucking rock star.
I don't think so. I don't think Julie's going to like that.
So?
That kid had a lot of tude, let me tell you. But, you know, when you're peaking at 10, I guess that's exciting.
All right,
it's awfully early to peak, but...
She has a bunch of other videos I refuse to play for you because I don't want to give you any fuel. Where she's talking to the
Why are you an advocate
camera.
For the 10-year-old
Because I think
drummer.
She's really good, and you're being very mean.
I think she needs to be critiqued. I mean, everyone just goes, oh, my God, a 10-year-old can be a cover drummer?
Coward.
That's amazing!
I think she was good. I thought she rocked. Dave Grohl thought
she rocked,
too. Good
at copying. Yeah, people who've done really creative drumming, she was very good at copying.
Tom Morello thought she was really good, too.
What's Tom Morello going to say? I think she blows.
Well, he could just ignore, like, Green Day.
Just
apparently
get rage canceled.
Apparently Green Day just ignored her. I'm trying to find. I know she did. Oh, here's a video of her and her awesome brother Thomas jamming together.
Okay, this is original.
One.
No, they're doing Wipeout together.
Oh, Wipeout, that's original.
I'm not playing that one, that was stupid.
Scooby-dooby-doo-bop, scooby-dooby-doo-bop,
you're
magic.
You were annoyed by
the bang build on the drums, because together we can get through this.
That sucks, sir.
Oh, yeah. It's probably a number one hit right now.
Let's see what this is. I don't know what all the. I don't know.
We get through this. Where is it? I'm looking at top 40, 39, 38. I don't see we're going to get through this.
They can't do it on the big stage. They can't do it.
You know the story.
Well, it looks like she's a Chelsea fan. I'm starting to dig her even more.
Oh, boy.
One, two, three, four.
Later, she rocks.
Oh, this isn't a cover?
No, that's her band.
I don't think so.
I wasn't prepared for this.
Well, rock and roll!
If you want to gather all her materials.
Wait, oh, here she is in front of a crowd. David Bowie liked her.
She was six when Bowie died!
Yeah, but he could see talent. Look, that crowd's digging her, man.
I'll just be nice because it's a kid. This is like going to the school play.
That's a sweet solo.
If you like drum solos, I get some Iron Butterfly drum solos that are really good if you want to hear those.
No, no thanks.
Yeah, because the guy's 30.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, she's cover drumming David Bowie. That's cool.
She took a gig. She was offered a gig and she took it. Kid's got to eat.
No, I admit it. She's a good cover drummer. I mean, she could probably get a cover band and they could, you know, do some gigs. Get a regular Friday night gig or Tuesday night gig.
You're the worst.
What? She's a good cover drummer. I'm complimenting her.
I'm looking. She's got a lot of videos.
She could really lighten up on the attitude, though. I mean, honestly, in her band, the drums are going to be in front of the stage. Like an Adler's Appetite.
Well, there she is drumming to Phineas, Brandon.
Oh, God.
You mean Billie Eilish?
Oh, yeah, that's really hard.
I don't see you doing it.
I could do that.
Please be an original on here somewhere. She jammed with Lenny Kravitz. That's pretty cool.
You know what I saw today online? The Goo Goo Dolls doing a pandemic version of Name, which was kind of the reason it was particularly funny to me was, first of all, I'm looking at Johnny, who looks like he's still a heartthrob. I don't know what he's doing, but he does not look. I mean, he's gotta be in his 50s, hair. Right? He does have weird hair. And Robbie, and I remember when they were back in our WRF studios playing the song Name when it was a nothing song. And actually, after they left, we were getting shit for, we have the Goo Goo Dolls on. Nobody knows who they are.
So what?
Well, no, I thought they were cool. I thought they were super nice guys.
I found an original song from Nandy.
Okay.
It's called My Rock and Roll.
Breaking news.
I created, I wrote and recorded every instrument by myself, and it's called My Rock and Roll.
Oh, she must be like, she's got to be better.
I didn't ask for your life story.
It's going to be like a Prince song then.
Sweet bass line.
Song title, I'm gonna check the charts.
My Rock and Roll.
Oh, it's a cute kitty song.
Well, she's a lead singer.
Oh, she thinks she's better than anyone.
No, because people like you demanded an original song where she did everything.
There's kids out there that love this stuff.
How many times do you think you want to hear this song?
Okay, it's not great, but she wrote her own song. It's got 48,000 views.
It's good for a kid. I mean, for a 10-year-old, it's better than average. It's above average.
Well, that's the point. All right, Goo Goo Dolls. Sorry.
Well, I just saw them playing Name online. It was kind of funny. I mean, it was good. I don't know why
it
people...
It was switched over to kind of be like a Corona song?
I guess they had five people in five different, like a Zoom version. You know how bands are doing that.
Oh, but they actually, I thought it was something similar to this.
We both know that we shouldn't be here.
That they took that song and changed the lyrics to be a Corona song.
You know, I want to see Nick play that song live. I want that to be part of his set.
That would be really funny.
That was really powerful.
This feels wrong. And baby, it's killing me. It's killing you. They're telling us we gotta stay home.
It's the hottest thing I've ever.
It's so stupid. I just want to laugh till I cry when I listen to it. It's so dumb.
We got some rust.
Hands getting bloody.
Other friends to see. But if we go outside now, we might spread the disease.
I wonder if he still feels that way or if he has a song now. It's time to open up Ohio. Our businesses need some money. Isn't he a small business owner in Ohio, too?
It's time to open up the bowling alleys and socially distance.
So I made up my mind. I'm staying in the house.
I got to hear the bloody hands because I
have. Time to quarantine because staying safe is what it's all about. Yeah, it's the hardest thing we've ever had to do. To stay stuck in our house, just watching all this bad news. It's the hardest thing we've ever had to try. To stay 6 feet apart when we go outside. Nothing to do, no sports on TV. Wash my hands so much that they started to bleed.
That's the best line.
Damn this quarantine. It's the hardest thing we've ever had to do. But in the end, it's worth it. Together we will get through.
Would you rather hear that song over again right now or that 10-year-old song?
The 10-year-old song. By a mile.
Really?
By a mile.
It's longer, though.
But I'd rather you ask me what I'd rather hear. I'd rather hear that. Brandon?
Brandon, you can break the tie.
Why can't we hear Brandon all of a sudden? Are you muted?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I did mute. Sorry about that. It's Nick Lachey all day long.
Absolutely. Really? Not even close.
Can we do a Twitter poll?
I think it's because I laugh every time I see it, especially if you see it. If you visually see how sexy he is when he's singing this Corona song.
I know, he is so into himself. It's all about him. His hands are bleeding. I know. How many views are there for that song?
Nandy one?
Okay, what about her? How many?
48,000.
Oh, God. How many for Nick Lachey?
I'll have to look that up. I got to take that. Let's see.
I'm doing a Twitter.
I don't think Nick Lachey's song has a lot of staying power.
What would you rather?
But nobody knows Nandy. They don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, they do right now. Nick Lachey's coronavirus song.
Well, they're going to say Nandy because they don't know what it is. They don't know how long it is. It's a 10-year-old. 10-year-old with a lot of attitude, a cover drummer.
It doesn't matter. We'll throw it out there.
You got to see this picture. You're going to laugh so hard. Check this out. I just clicked Nick Lachey quarantine song because I want to find how many downloads it has.
Yes.
And look at the first picture that pops up. He's giving like a Zoolander, look to the
Blue
camera
steel.
While he's singing about his quarantine.
Can you read some comments for the song? There's got to be people going, oh, my God, Nick, that is so powerful.
So you only have 25 characters for the option. So I just wrote 10-year-old drummer song.
It's going to win because people know the Nick Lachey song is stupid.
Well, they know
prove nothing.
They know who the 10-year-old drummer is. They heard
yesterday. When they find out it's a 6-minute song.
How do you want me? It's not a 6-minute song. It's 3. How do you want me to describe it?
I forget. Until they hear it, it's not fair.
Well, they can vote. Okay, don't vote anybody until after you listen.
Can you find any comments, Brandon?
Well, I'm looking for the original post because it wasn't put on like
there's
Twitter,
probably a few.
Or I'm sorry, YouTube. Is this in here?
Yeah, YouTube would have comments, I would think.
Oh, I think this is the one. Look at how fucking serious he is. So it looks like it's got, 400,000 hits.
Oh, stupid.
Right, and some comments.
Oh, my God. Just looking at it is hilarious.
We both know that we shouldn't be here.
Oh, my God.
What are people
saying?
Some
of the comments?
Yes.
This is amazing. So cool. Great job, buddy. Oh, my God. You're so cute.
Ugh.
This little creative song is really great and from the song The Hardest Thing by 98 Degrees. Thanks for the information.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Of course you did.
It's a cover. Yeah.
I don't know their playlist like you do.
Becky says, wow, Nick, you still got it. Jesus. Oh my God. You need to make short videos showcasing your beautiful voice. We miss it so much.
Especially when you're singing about washing your hands, that just really hit home.
Yeah. A lot of people wash their hands until they bleed.
Who are these sacks of shit that are leaving these comments? I mean, really, this is... I mean, if you wanted a mailing list... You know, I need a mailing list of sacks of shit. I mean, that would be the perfect place to start, wouldn't it?
You know what? His song is as long as the Nandy song is. Just timed it out.
It is?
Yeah, her song is about 225, it looks like.
And is his song 133.
This is 133. So hers is a little longer.
Yeah, his is too long.
Now, the video goes way on and on for her. But
you know, all I see is, a pretty... Oh, you know what? You know what's pretty fun? Is in the background of his song, because he's doing it in his living room because he's quarantining at home. It just so happens to pan across a television that has CNN on. Ah! And so there's a lot of comments that are,
hashtag fake news.
Why do you have CNN on in the background? That's a big no.
Oh, God, people. I feel so bad for these people who really feel this stuff. I mean, it really upsets them that he's on CNN.
Or they're just trolling.
I was going to mention, and I'm sure this will get blasted probably harder than Nandy. Somebody, and when I say someone, I'm not going to be specific about who someone is. This is just someone. Sent me... somebody very special. Sent me the video of The Cure playing a forest at the Wurzeltstor Festival in July of 81. Did I send it to you, maybe?
No.
Okay. Maybe I can send it to... Can you find it, Brandon?
Why was Robert Smith very upset?
This is the best Robert Smith thing ever, by the
Congratulations,
way.
Congratulations, The Cure, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees 2019. Are you as excited as I am?
By the sounds of it, no.
That is one of his finer moments. Wurzeltstor.
I see it, July 1981.
That's it. First of all, this song is incredible. It's so cool to see him playing lead guitar. I mean, they're a three-piece. Mm-hmm. And this is early, early, early Cure. Robert Smith, look at how svelte he is. Did you see an endomorph coming when you see him there? I mean, I don't see a guy that's going to get heavy.
No.
And he's also wearing a headband, and he's kind of rocking it.
So, is the end of this the exciting part? Did you read the description of it?
No. What does it say?
It said, this is the Wurzeltstor Festival. This is the infamous fuck Robert Palmer, fuck rock and roll episode.
Oh, yes, because he was asked to get off the stage, and then he negotiated one more song, and he played the longest song in their catalog.
That's awesome. Good for you.
And they're playing it really slow, too. It'll pick up in a minute. But, man, this is just a fantastic melody. I always liked the song, but I'd never... heard it live, not this far back, and it's just weird seeing thin Robert Smith with a headband on. And I think The Cure are so criminally underrated to start with.
In the Hall of Fame.
I know, but they should have been first ballot.
Yeah, but if you're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, how can you be underrated?
This one radio station play The Cure, one Cure song in the entire city of Detroit? I doubt it.
I bet you 89X probably plays Love Song.
Okay, well, first of all, how many people listen to 89X? Three?
Yeah.
But, I mean, one song? Three mainstream rock stations don't play any Cure! He's really playing lead on this. I love it.
That bandana's distracting.
A little bit.
Where's his makeup?
He's wearing makeup.
Just eyeliner.
I mean, you ever seen The Cure live in 1981? I just don't remember seeing a clip of them this early.
They look very different.
Does he play guitar all the time now? Because sometimes I feel like he's not even playing guitar. He's just singing.
No, I've seen him play guitar.
I mean, always, but we just haven't seen him play a Forest in a while. Which is a great song.
He's got really weird hair now.
He does have really weird hair now. He doesn't look very healthy.
Is he sick?
But I love him. No, I just... He's a little heavy. Oh, get this. In the middle of the song on YouTube, there's an Obama ad.
What? Really?
Well, it's not Obama ad. He just says...
In 1981.
Don't let them take away your power. It's like, boom, in the middle of the song, Obama just pops up, which is like pissed me off.
What?
Yes!
I agree.
It'll pop up. Watch.
Are you saying whoever created the video inserted that?
I don't know who did it, but it's just annoying as hell.
The first comment underneath it is, the world has the coronavirus. We have the cure.
Oh, that's pretty heavy.
And then the first response to that is brilliant. And the one after it is, coronavirus is a hoax.
Diddumps. Oh, God.
Gotta wrap it up, guys. I'm sorry, guys. We're going to need to wrap it up.
That Obama song has got to be coming. Or Obama commercial, rather. It's got to be coming.
You might have seen a different version, because I just sped through, and I don't see it in the...
I think it's coming up right now, actually.
There it is. Seamless.
Everybody in Cleveland, no minority got Obama phone.
I don't know. When you think of great guitar singer songwriters, I don't think Robert Smith comes to the top of the list that often.
Oh well, there's so many.
I know, but he's one of the best.
One of the best.
He's one of the top 20 guitar singer. I mean, The Cure. I love
that's kind of high. I think it's hyperbole.
Okay, how many people are... Who's better? I'm not saying he's the best.
Cobain?
I'm saying who's better.
Wait. You want best a
much smaller
frontman?
Catalog.
Lennon, Hendrix? No? You think he's better than those two?
No, you're naming the top tip-top guys.
Shit, I'll name Jimi Hendrix. I'll name Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Did you not know that I just said Hendrix?
Oh, no. Eric Clapton.
Clapton, yeah. I'll give it
Dave Mustaine, Jack White.
Dave Mustaine. No, I don't think so.
Jack White.
I don't think so.
Oh, horseshit. He's way better than Robert Smith.
Okay, James Hetfield.
By a mile.
How many mainstream hits does the White Stripes and Jack White have?
Oh.
Versus The Cure.
I'm going to look it up, because I bet you he has more.
I don't know.
I don't know the story.
I mean, it's an interesting comparison.
You really count a lot of England hits, you know? I mean, are we talking America here, or are we talking...
Yeah, if you don't like it, get out!
Okay, if you're talking about songs played on the radio in Detroit, it's not even close.
Jack White has had 3 number one albums solo.
Yeah, bro.
All right, forget Jack White. Next.
Well, we easily knocked him out of the top 10, right, Brandon? I mean,
much fun knocking Robert Smith out of the top 10? I didn't say he was top 10.
Did you say he was top 20?
No, I didn't say anything. I just said he's one of the best.
Yeah, he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Matthew Bellamy of Muse is a better.
I would agree with that comment.
So would Jim Bentley.
Yeah.
Hi, Jim.
I get around with Muse and Bentley. Jeez. I don't know where.
I would say Tom York, too, but.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Oh, come on. He's way
I
better than
Robert
Smith.
I think we're going
Robert
a little Smith. Far there, Mark.
In all seriousness, really? You don't think...
I would say Bradley Noel of Sublime.
Bradley Noel. Come on. One album.
No.
More than
one.
One album. Three, at least.
Yeah, at least three.
Three albums that sold 17 million? No, one album sold 17 million.
I don't know why album sales have to be,
Well, no, I'm just saying they had one huge album.
You want to go? Okay.
Then does that mean Mariah Carey is your favorite artist because she's got more hits than anybody else?
No, which is
Steve Lukather. How about that one?
No.
What?
No.
Why not?
Over the Cure. Robert Smith, are you kidding?
Give me David Gilmour all day long.
Pink Floyd's one of the biggest bands ever.
So is the Cure.
You know what? I would say Billy Joe Armstrong before Warning over Robert Smith of the Cure.
Billy Joe Armstrong, what?
Green Day. He's just, I know it.
Prior to Warning. Yeah, and give me Pete Townsend.
I love Pete Townsend.
How about Brad Delp?
No, not Brad Delp. No, absolutely not.
Lindsey Buckingham.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Mark
way.
Farner.
Get the fuck out of here.
Prince, obviously Prince. Steve Miller.
Steve Miller.
Steve,
yes.
Steve.
George Harrison.
Okay, I'll take George. That's fine.
Yeah. John Fogerty, shit. Billy Corgan.
Yeah. William
Patrick. I can go on and on, dude.
Billy Gibbons? I don't think you guys like The Cure. I'm just saying.
I like him. I just don't think he's the greatest, one of the best guitarists.
Yeah, we forgot this guy.
I just think he's highly underrated. I don't think a lot of people think of The Cure.
How about Neil Young?
Well, Elvis Costello is an interesting comparison.
I'd rather have John Mayer.
Oh, go ahead. Get a room with John Mayer. I don't care.
John Legend.
Much. If you love him so much, why don't you marry him? John Legend. Get out of here.
He didn't play the guitar.
Get out of here.
Zach, what about Adam Levine?
No. He didn't even play guitar.
What are you talking about? He's a hit maker. I've seen him on that show.
He is a hit maker. I'd say he's a bigger hit maker. I don't know.
I think we've named at least 50 better.
You've not named 50. Okay. Get the fuck out of
30
here.
30 maybe.
What?
30 maybe.
I don't know.
I think I've seen Eddie Vedder play guitar once.
I know.
No. That's Johnny not going to cut. Don't say Mick Jagger either because he plays guitar. He does not.
Hey, Sammy Hagar plays guitar, dude.
Not so like Robert Smith. Sorry.
I'm with you on that. I'll give you that one, Drew.
Rivers Cuomo.
Rivers Cuomo, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely, Rivers Cuomo is better.
I think you're ignoring the size of The Cure's catalog.
He is Weezer, though. He is Weezer. I mean, that Weezer is him.
Well, The Cure is Robert Smith.
Oh, there's
yes,
two other guys.
Yes, they are.
I got a three-piece. I got a better front man.
He's like 90% of a three-piece.
How about Chad Kroeger?
No.
Now you're just being silly.
No.
I'm only saying that, listen, there is a list. Online that I'm looking at right now, and it's the greatest singer lead guitarist list. And Robert Smith is number 75. Number 74 is Chad Kroeger.
Get the fuck out of here. Whose list is this? Chad Kroeger's?
It's pretty good.
Oh, Tom York is 77.
Bullshit.
B.B. King is better.
It's just because he's the third
best. B.B. King is a blues guy.
It's only because Tom's the third best guitarist in his own band.
How about Rick Ocasek?
Can we just edit this part out?
No.
Rick Ocasek's pretty fucking good.
Yeah. I want Jerry Cantrell over Robert Smith.
All right. Robert Smith sucks, I admit it.
Chris Cornell?
How good a guitarist is Chris Cornell?
Yeah, good enough.
I don't think we're talking about the same category anymore.
Dan Auerbach from the Black Keys? No?
No. It's a funny comparison.
Gary Clark Jr.
Does he really write?
Hey, we need to wrap it up.
Is Gary Clark, is he comparable to Robert Smith? I mean, they're a million miles apart, aren't they?
Well, they both play the same instrument.
Is Gary Clark that good a singer? I mean,
okay,
Robert Smith has a very unique voice.
I'll give you Robert Smith on that one. Jerry Cantrell, how about that one?
On his own?
Yeah.
No.
Oh,
no, man. No. Okay, name some Jerry Cantrell hits.
He wrote all of Alice in Chains stuff.
No, on his own. You said on his own.
I've seen him live where he sang. He was great.
No, name some of his hits on his own outside of Alice in Chains.
Well, is it just about hits?
He doesn't sing lead in Alice in Chains.
Well, he would.
But he doesn't.
I've seen him sing.
Why are you taking people playing different instruments and comparing to Robert Smith?
Different instruments?
Well, he's not the lead singer.
Wow, but he is.
On his own.
I mean, he can.
Where are his hits? I'm checking the top 40. I don't see him.
How about
there.
Cut You In?
I don't see that 10-year-old in there either.
Isn't that Jerry Cantrell's big solo hit, Cut You In?
Yeah, hit number 5 on the charts. There you go. And my song hit number 6. So two top ten, and he had a number 10 hit, so three top 10 hits solo.
Well, The Cure don't have a lot of singles.
Just saying.
I bet their albums do well, though.
Just saying.
Really great at makeup, though.
They are.
He is top 10 makeup for bands. Right behind, gotta wrap it up, guys. Right behind Kiss.
All right, hit the outro and edit this whole portion of the show. Fuck.
No way, this is going to Best of WLLZ.
Yeah, funny.
What? It's not.
Well, see, they don't even play Robert Smith.
Well, maybe they will now.
No, they won't. He'll never get airplay here because nothing of the new wave got played.
I don't know if you heard ML talking last week. I forgot who it, what band he heard on the west side of the state on the radio, but an actual new wave song, a deep cut.
He heard a new wave song on the west side of the state?
Yeah, so I immediately looked up to see who owned that station.
And who owns it?
Cumulus Station, so I think you know where I was going with that.
Huh.
They have a good director of rock programming nationally. I'm not joking, they do.
Forest, Charlotte Sometimes, The Walk, Pictures of You, In Between Days, Close to Me, Boys Don't Cry. Adele covered The Cure.
They're great songs.
Why Can't I Be You? Just Like Heaven. Hot, Hot, Hot. Lullaby, Love Song. Did I mention Pictures of You? I think I did. Mm-hmm. Close to Me, Hi. Friday I'm in Love, number 6 on the UK charts back in the day. I don't know, why aren't these released in America? I don't get it. They only have like 14 songs as singles they released.
And so far, the 10-year-old drummer is winning in the Twitter poll.
Well, good. I'm going to make, I am going to force, I'm going to have people holding people's ears open while we crank that song over and fucking over to people. They love it so much. Bullshit. Lachey rules!
Nick Lachey, he should be better than Robert Smith. He played guitar, didn't he?
I think he did.
You know, I quit. I'm done.
I quit!